Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Listen, this is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen!
Members of fucking Cult Fiction, and motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
J-Cat Morris and Eric Williams, your hosts of Yakuza Kick Radio.
Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. It is Thursday, July 21st. We are here for another exciting edition of Yakuza Kick Radio. With me, as always, is my co-host, Eric Williams. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, JK, how you been? Another fun, exciting show. This is going to be a big episode for us personally.
Yeah, pretty serious, man. It's actually our year anniversary. The day after last week's show was actually the one-year mark for how long we've been doing this. So pretty good. I never expected to be doing radio to begin with. So it's pretty cool. Yeah, I actually pulled off doing that shit for a year straight and, continue to do so. And
hey, it's a year without you killing me.
There's always next year. So yeah, man, we're gonna have Deranged on tonight, otherwise known as Element. Of course, there's a lot of confusion always because, you know, some people hear Deranged and they think it's called Fiction Deranged, and then, you know, other people know what I'm talking about. But, you know, it's the guy best known for, you know, his Special K, you know, being part of Special K in Ring of Honor, and he had worked extensively in Jersey All-Pro prior to that. So yeah, much different style, much different dude, but, yeah, very, very talented dude. Been around for a long time.
Definitely.
So, yeah. And then, we'll get into the WWE deal. You know, they had the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. They had, of course, Raw the following night, two completely different outcomes, and definitely be getting into that heavy. We're talking about
I think you love the later part of that weekend. And I think you love the Monday stuff over the interview. Just saying.
No, not really, dude.
By the way, quick shout out to Juan in the chat room.
Yeah, Juan, we got a couple guests in there. We got CZW Ewok.
I think all those guests need to do what everybody else does, if you're cool. And that is register an account here at Blog Talk Radio and come in the chat room and, shoot the breeze with us, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yep, you know what it is. Same as every week, so. Can't type if you don't log in, but.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, man. Downloaded the Japan Power. What? What one?
I don't know what the fuck.
He just starts talking random fucking things, and, you know, I really don't.
That's
Juan, you know,
and we love him. That's Juan, we love him.
Hey, Juan.
I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing.
So, yeah. yeah, it's a fun thing that we got these sound drops, man. That's why me and Eric's both logged in Yakuza and stuff, and, I'm doing the sound drops over here, so it's the only reason I'm not J-Cat in the chat no more. So I'm Yakuza Kick with a whole bunch of numbers on it. I think
3-9-5-7-4.
If you want to go ahead and screen that. Well, just waiting for Eric to screen the call, figure out who it is, do what to do. I still don't know what the fuck Juan's talking about, but it's all good. So I got Sting on my TV looking all stupid.
Fuck Sting, he's a piece of shit anyway.
Yeah, man.
You heard me. So, yeah, we got our guest.
All right, this time I'd like to welcome to the show. Some cats know him as Element. Rap fans know him as Element. And, you know, wrestling fans know him as Deranged. Welcome to the show, man.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Chilling. Figure, you know, we bring you on the show, talk some wrestling, talk some rap.
Word.
I know you know quite a bit of both. And,
yep.
You know, for those who don't know the background, you know, you trained with the Doghouse, right?
Homicide.
Give us a rundown of, you know, how that all came about, and you know, how old were you when you actually got into the business?
Oh, wow. well, I was about 14. Yeah.
Wow.
I was still in high school. And I actually started out going to another school that I won't even give the benefit of mentioning, but in Brooklyn. And it's pretty much the same place where a bunch of cats like Homicide, Low Life Louie, Loki, SAT, a lot of people came out of this little hole in the wall. And then from there, I was I spent like about 10 months there. And one day I was there just working out, and Joel Maximo and Amazing Red showed up. At random, I hadn't seen them in about a year. I guess that's when they first started, like, making their own entry into the indies. So they just popped up, and they were saying that they heard a little something about me there, and that I had a lot of potential. So they took me over to the Doghouse, which is where I met, would eventually meet Homicide and Loki and a whole lot of cats, Reefer, Azreel. Yeah, there were a lot of cats there, that I got to work out with and train with, and, you know, they just polished me up, got me real clean. A big part of my training there, was with, Quiet Storm and, Ghost Shadow, which I'm sure a lot of cats that are probably following the indies now don't remember, but, yeah, it's Cat Ghost Shadow who I broke in with.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, he was responsible for a lot of my training, and Quiet Storm and the SAT and Red and Homicide.
Yeah, I mean, what was it like, you know, working with guys like Homicide, Loki, legendary cats in the business, and known for being stiff.
yeah, and especially back then, because back then nobody was getting any WWE contracts or TNA contracts, so, you know, wrestling light wasn't really a concern for anyone, but it was pretty brutal, man. Let me not forget to mention Lathan, Tower of Torture. Dude's like 6'7", 270 pounds at the time, and he was enormous, and he wrestled anybody as if they were the same size, and that was also pretty scary. But, yeah, Homicide, Loki, Lathan, all these cats, man, they would – it was grueling, man. Like, they would beat the shit out of you like no other, like, you know, and they would – and the training regimen was just crazy. Like, you know, we're talking about doing hundreds of squats a day, hundreds of push-ups a day, hundreds of back bumps on the concrete. Like, you know, when you first got there, you weren't even allowed to get in the ring for, like, a year.
Wow.
They had you learning how to bump on the floor first. And when you finally got in the ring, it wasn't much of a relief because that's where you got your ass kickings.
Yeah.
And your chops. So, you know, it was crazy, man. You know, at the time, you know, obviously they weren't as huge stars as they are now, but
right.
You know, they already had their buzz going and, with Jersey All-Pro and the Indies, and, you know, they were doing their thing. So it was very intimidating, but I honestly, I wouldn't have wanted it any other way because they literally, like, within a year time span, turned me from a young, you know, naive, scared kid to a vicious, stiff, you know, lightweight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they polished me up and they made you tough. That was for sure.
Now, how long after that until you got into, like, Jersey All-Pro? Was that your first stop or?
Well, what's crazy, I had about maybe, now I would say I had a good amount. I think I spent maybe a year and a half in the doghouse just exclusively just doing doghouse shows. They used to have shows every Saturday. But those shows were good, even though they, you know, there would rarely be anyone there. You know, they had the Christopher Street connection at all those shows, the Hit Squad, Julius
right.
Smokes, Homicide, Loki, Reefer, Azrael, all these cats, like, were there on the regular. But I started out there. My first match ever was against Red, which
okay.
is ironic. And but it took, like, a year and change before Homicide finally, like, took me out to Bayonne and introduced me to Fat Frank and had me do a tryout match, you know, right there on the spot with Ghost Shadow, and that's kind of what opened the door for me there.
Yeah, I know back in, I think September of 2001, you actually beat Ghost Shadow for a vacated light heavyweight championship at the time.
Right, yeah. I think that wasn't the one at the ECW Arena. I think the title didn't come into play till like our fourth match, match in, yeah, or third, yeah. But yeah, I remember that pretty clearly, especially that first match because I was nervous as shit, you know what I mean? Like, and all the pressure being put on you about it being the ECW arena and how
right.
brutal the crowd is, and I didn't know what was going to go down. And then I had Balls Mahoney in the locker room, like, you know, trying to make me even more nervous, you know, emphasizing those facts to me and, but, you
right.
know, just busting my balls, but,
yeah.
I guess under pressure I work better because that match pretty much changed everything for me.
So, at the time, you were like 16 working in the ECW arena?
Yeah, I was about 16 going on 17, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that had to be rough, for sure.
Yeah.
Cats that are just getting there now, you know, years and years later, and yeah, that's some big shit.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of them realize how lucky they are to be there.
Yeah. Now it was, I guess a couple of years later, you had broke into the Ring of Honor.
Right.
They brought in a whole Special K stable.
Right.
It seemed like that was more or less like a stable amongst friends. Like, you guys like kind of came up together to begin with, right?
Yeah, that was the, to me, that was a phase in my wrestling career that I'm never going to forget because it was the most fun. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
it was really the first time that I got to do something like that, so huge, and I got to do it with everybody that I hung out with on the regular outside of the ring. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's funny because the whole concept came about based on us as a clique of friends. You know what I mean? Like, they pretty much just took our roles in real life and kind of exaggerated it into, you know, one really cool, fun gimmick. But
yeah, it was.
It's not. It wasn't
over.
Really a gimmick.
Yeah. One of the things I remembered from the Special K days was the match where the Hit Squad and Loki were up against Special K, you being, you know, one of the three, and they faked like they gave Loki pills and he pretended to take them and shit and then proceeded to beat the shit out of all three.
Well, he didn't pretend to take. He didn't pretend to take anything. He took them.
Right.
He's like, right. Yeah, he took him. Yeah, I remember that. I remember. It seems like everybody remembers most the low-key matches, but yeah, that was a fun match. That was really cool. Like, I really wish I could have had many more like that in Ring of Honor. You know, I wish we would have gotten more opportunities to get in there with guys of that caliber, you know what I mean? I mean, not to downplay anyone else that worked for the company, because obviously if you were in Ring of Honor, you were one of the best. But,
right.
You know, I just wish, you know, they kind of ran with that a little more, because that had a lot of potential. But, yeah, it was fun, and by then I was already used to the Hit Squad and low-key beatings, so.
Yeah. I mean, you guys definitely worked some of the best out there, you know, and, you know, top talents in Ring of Honor. And
thank you.
Another one of the guys you got in there with, and, you know, he's kind of gained a different reputation since his stuff. You guys worked the Carnage crew, including Masada.
Oh, right.
I mean, since Masada's become, you know, deathmatch superstar all over the world, and, you know, what was it like working with him way back then?
That's crazy. You know what? No one's ever asked me anything about that guy, but yeah, I was actually kind of shocked to see that he did a complete 360 and, or should I say 180, and took that route, like, because I remember first knowing him as just like a big guy that could do a really nice 450, and now all of a sudden he's doing death matches everywhere, which I'm pretty surprised about. I didn't even think he had that in him, to be honest, because he's a super nice guy, you know, behind the scenes, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
He's pretty quiet. I mean, I don't know if anyone knows him better and could say different, but, you know, the impression I got was that he was quiet, you know, and but he's a crazy motherfucker, man, and he's a good worker, too. Like, that's another reason I'm surprised that he's taking the deathmatch approach, because he was a good wrestler, you know what I mean? He was able to go with anybody. For a guy that big, he was able to go with anybody, so I'm just surprised that that's what he's had to conform to be successful.
Well, he's one of the guys that, you know, makes deathmatch wrestling look as, you know, its best, where, you know, he adds a lot of psychology to it.
Right.
Hitting shit, yeah, hitting people with shit.
So him being a good worker comes into play, and
it definitely helps out a lot. Shortly after that, another crazy. I was there live. That shit was insane, and I can't forget that. There was another one of them Special K raves. The show started out with, I think it was Elizabeth. And next thing you know, music stops. Low-key's music hits. He's returning from a big injury.
Right.
I mean, y'all cats must have had like 20, 25 people in the ring. And every one of them scattered. lights come back on, there's nothing but you standing in the
room. I'm the only asshole.
Mad as hell.
I'm the only asshole that didn't give a fuck. Yeah. I mean, I didn't, you know, why be afraid, you know what I mean? But, and I was probably high out of my mind. Who knows? But, I don't regret it. I mean, like I said, I've been in the ring with Loki tons of times before, so I kind of just thought, I was quite entertained by all the hysteria about that match and how people would always come up to me and only mention that out of my entire, every match, all the matches I've had in my entire career, you know what I mean? I've wrestled Homicide for all these people. You know, and the only match people seem to remember is that one, and it's because of the so-called beating I took. And I mean,
right.
I think what people need to understand is that that was nothing new for me. You know what I mean? Like, I came, I was basically a borderline student of his. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, obviously, Homicide is the one that took me under his wing.
Right.
But, Loki, on occasion, would come through the doghouse and also punish me quite a bit. And, you know what I mean? What can I say about that? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a pussy. I'm not a bitch. I'm a professional wrestler. You know what I mean? That's what I'm there for. You know what I mean? And if I can't handle that, then I need to choose another profession.
Right.
But, you know, it really wasn't that serious. You know, I guess to a lot of people, they've never seen something like that before. But if back in the day, the doghouse was had the exposure that ROH had, people would have been totally spoiled by that, and that would get no reaction. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now back then too. You guys, you know, Special K and everything else, you got the, you know, opportunity to wrestle the Backseat Boys, which obviously recently, you know, last year we lost Trent Acid.
Right, right.
You know, how was, you know, your whole experience working those guys?
Man, I could say it was always fun, like, and I'm not just saying that, considering the situation, but, no, it was fun. They were really good guys. They were really, really talented. I'm surprised they never got to the, you know, got to the E.
Yeah.
But, no, they were really good, really fun to work with, tremendously humble, like, you know what I mean? They never treated anyone in the back like they were better. And they never thought they were too good to take a bump for you. You know what I mean?
Right.
As hot as they were, as successful as they got, they never, you know, it never went to their heads, man. Those were like a couple of the coolest guys I've ever met in the business. And that's one of the reasons why Trent became one of the closer friends that I had in the business. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and say he was like my best friend. You know, we didn't hang out all the time, you know what I mean? But every time I saw him at an indie show, every time I saw him anywhere or we were on the road together, like, he showed me a tremendous amount of love that I did not see from too many people, especially too many workers on his level and of his talent, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, he was really humble and he always showed mad love, and he really was like it's not just something people just say because he passed on, you know, it's true. Like, he really was one of the coolest motherfuckers, like, in wrestling.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I'm pretty sure, I mean, I'm not really sure if you were involved at all. I don't think you were part of the ring thing, but Special K did that big Scramble Cage deal where Teddy Hart did his whole business. Were you there that night, or?
I was there that night, but I didn't participate in the match.
Okay. What were your thoughts on that whole shit that broke off of that?
Well, what exactly? Because a few things went down that night.
The whole Teddy Hart spiel where he pretty
that
much
beef.
Yeah, I mean, he pretty much took it upon himself to, you know, no sell the finish and do a bunch of flips and crazy
right,
spots.
Right. Now, yeah, okay, you reminded me of that. All right. Well, I mean, you know, what can I say? I mean, if, you know, I don't want to, like, you know, talk too negatively about anyone, but
right.
It was an extremely unprofessional thing to do. And over time, getting to know him, you know, I actually lived with the guy for like 7 or 8 months in Canada.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, me, him, and Jack Evans were roommates and shit. And so
that's
I got
cool.
to know him quite a bit, far beyond the level that everyone, that most people have gotten to know him. So I
right.
could tell you that's really no surprise. That
yes.
he did that, you know, he, you know, it's a shame because he's tremendously talented, like, he's so fucking good, so fun to watch
yeah.
in the ring, but his mind is gone, man, like, like
yeah, you can
totally.
See that even from the other side of the guardrail.
Yeah, exactly, like, his mind is gone, man, like, that is no gimmick at all, like, he really believes who he portrays.
Right, right. That's why, like, you know, I seen him and, you know, Jack Evans, and Jack Evans was more or less portrayed as, like, his sidekick. You know, he was, like,
mm-hmm.
his little sidekick or whatever the case was, but...
Yeah,
I mean,
which was another
as a,
shame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you've seen as, like, you know, you watch those guys, like, month in and month out, you just had this feeling, like, Jack Evans is going to go further.
Right.
Sure enough. And
yep. Well, because he, you know... I would say the main thing is that Jack always kept his mouth shut, and Jack
yeah.
never was the type to big league anybody or pull rank, and he didn't think he was hot shit, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't feel a need to overcompensate and manipulate people into believing he's more than what he is,
right.
you know what I mean? So Jack just remained humble the entire time, and real recognize real, you know what I mean? Like, eventually people catch on and, you know, they know, you know? If you're a good
uh-huh.
dude, people can sense that, like...
Yeah,
you don't...
Are you there?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. Back in 03, too, you had came into CZW. How'd you get over there?
Honestly, I vaguely remember how. I think it was... First, it was meant to just be an appearance. I participated in the Best of the Best 3 tournament. The third, yeah, the third.
Four. Was it third or fourth?
Yeah, it was definitely third because I still have the T-shirt.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, it was Best of the Best 3, and
yeah, right.
I wrestled B-Boy and Lil Cholo in the first round, and it was first meant to just be that, but I guess the match went so well that, you know, they figured it'd be a good idea to bring me back. But the only dilemma was that the expectations for me to do over the top, like, suicidal,
right.
super hardcore shit, they really were trying to lead up to me incorporating all my high flying into the hardcore style, and, you know, I've done my share of ladder matches, table matches, you know, I've been hit with chairs, thrown into walls, thrown into ceilings, powerbombed on the floor, you know, I've done dives off of moving trucks, like, I've done all that shit, but it's like, for what, you know what I mean, like,
right.
After a while, it's not worth it. After a while, you got to think about longevity. You got to think about preserving yourself. And I was finally learning that. You know, I finally, like, grew out of that phase
yeah,
where I thought I had to do everything possible to get over. You know, like, ROH taught me that, you know, sometimes less is more. You know what I mean? And at the time, I was heavily in ROH, so... they were asking me to do all these things that I didn't even have to do at ROH and
right.
for less compensation. So it's like that didn't work for me. And But yeah, I originally got there to do Best of the Best. I had like maybe two more matches, and then an incident happened where there was a miscommunication, and me and Azriel tried to do a double shot from JAP to Cage of Death, and we didn't make it because someone called and told us never to forget it, that, you know, our match was going to come on too early and we weren't going to make it in time. And
right.
So we turned around. You know, we were going to drive there and try to make it, but we ended up turning around because someone made that call and told us that. But then when I end up reading on the internet that, like, rest in peace, Chris Cage,
Chris Cash.
He got in the ring and started, like, destroying us, like, and shooting on us, and they were saying that we, like, totally dissed CZW and we didn't give a shit. And
well, I think that was partially because that was kind of John Zandig's way of handling things, that, like, instead
right.
of just keeping things in the back.
Right.
And, you know, Cash came up through him, so.
I know. Cash. I know Cash wasn't the messenger.
Because
I addressed it on a blog once back then, and
right.
I was totally going at Zandig about it. And, you know, I didn't even want to have a problem with Zandig. Like, I actually really liked working for Zandig.
Right.
I loved the CZW locker room. Like, again, like, you know, a lot of my boys were back there. Like, I got along really well with B-Boy, Messiah, Adam Flash, Trent Acid. All those cats were, like, my people, you know what I mean? So there was no reason for me to want to fuck CZW over like that, you know what I mean?
Right.
That would never have crossed my mind, but it was just a shame that, you know, he kind of took it to that level and destroyed some of my credibility, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Now, I mean, you still, you know, past that point, we kind of overlapped because, you know, you were in Ring of Honor for a lot more months and everything like that
right.
than CZW.
Years.
But, yeah, years.
Yeah.
You know, at a certain point, you just kind of disappear from wrestling. I mean, I always enjoyed your work and stuff like that, and then just stopped seeing you after a certain point.
Right.
You know, what happened there? Like, how did it...
Well, you know, it's been hard enough to keep that quiet up until this point, but I guess I owe it to people to explain. I guess things kind of started to slow down, you know. I left ROH. JAP wasn't really doing me many favors. I just, you know, I felt like a lot of new talent was coming in, a lot of new young talent, cats that were very hungry and willing to do anything. And I was kind of just tired, you know what I mean? Like, I've been doing this since I was 14 years old, and my body was in pain. What a lot of people don't know or realize is that I spent my entire career wrestling through injuries. Like, I had a bad habit of not addressing physical problems right away.
Right.
I'd be like, oh, well, I'm just going to do what I got to do, make my money, and deal with it later. But, you know, that was the ignorance that led me to being in the physical state that I'm in now. So, you know, things were slowing down, so it was getting really discouraging, and it didn't seem worth it as much anymore. And I was also getting very, very frustrated with backstage politics. Like, I was just getting tired of watching people get ahead through either kissing ass or cutting throats.
Right.
And that's not the kind of person I would like to be. That's not the kind of person I am. That's not the kind of person I was raised to be. So it's like, for me to live in a world like that from the age of 14, I practically grew up in the wrestling business. You know what I mean? I was introduced to ugly the hard way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, all I saw was evil. You know, and I was just getting tired of it, you know, and it was making me a bad person, you know. And then 2008 comes along, and I had a match for VPW against Javier, and I had a really severe neck injury. I fractured 3 vertebrae.
Wow.
Yeah, which pretty much tells me if I would have came down with any more force, I could have either broken my neck and either not been able to walk again or dead. So that put that was just the icing on the cake. That put everything into perspective for me. That was something I never thought would happen to me. And I started to really think hard about it, and I was like, man, I don't know if this is worth it. And, you know, I do like to entertain. I love to entertain people, obviously, you know. But, you know, there's got to be a limit, you know what I mean? So,
true.
But what ended up happening after that is that I had a lot of personal problems at home. I had fractured neck, and then like a month later, my dad had a stroke, and then later on the same year, my dad had another stroke. So like things just got very, very complicated, and I decided to take my break finally, you know. And I had asked everyone who knew about my injury to just not mention it, not announce it on a website or a message board. Just move on, like, don't talk about me. I don't want to be discussed. I didn't want to be, you know, and a lot of people like to say a lot of fucked up shit on message boards.
Yeah,
so it's like, that's not something, those aren't things that I wanted people to play with, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to read shit about my neck or my dad's health, you know what I mean? So I kind of just hush-hush, just faded into the background, and that's it, you know what I mean? Because I just, yeah, I had to take a good whiff of that wake-up call, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of negativity amongst, you know, wrestling fans and the wrestling community, so I definitely understood, man.
Yeah, and it was hard, man, because I used to work hard, man. Like, I used to really kill myself, like, literally, I've killed myself, you know? Like some of the things, I'm hurting from head to toe, literally, and some of these things will never go away, and which means it will affect my future. It will affect my ability to do certain types of work and support a family. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think people realize how much sacrifice wrestlers really, really make. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that was
a lot of
things
of
I didn't feel.
Don't.
Yeah, and I didn't feel properly acknowledged. I didn't feel properly acknowledged for what I've done. You know what I mean? I felt like, all right, I'm killing myself. I'm doing all these fucking crazy moves. And at the end of the day, when you walk out of that building, no one, like, really remembers. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You get lost in the shuffle, and as soon as you're gone, somebody else takes your spot.
Yeah, so as much as I love to entertain people and all of that, I had to be selfish at that point because I almost lost my life in the ring. And another thing that upset me is that while I was laid out in the ring when that happened, I heard people, a couple of people saying, "Oh, don't tell me we're going to have to wait a half hour now for the show to start again. Oh, come on, get this fucking kid out of the ring." Like, I heard shit like that, and I'm just like, are you serious? You know what I mean? So I was just like, man, fuck this. You know what I'm saying? Like, get in the ring and do it yourself. that was my mentality at that point, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. It's very discouraging.
Yeah. But over time, you know, I healed up. My dad's fine. I thought about it, and you know, I had a lot of people contacting me and asking me where did I go and why, and, you know, that they wished I was still around. And it made me realize that, you know, you're not going to please everybody, but there is that handful that, like, I make their week every time I get in the ring, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know, there is that handful that really, really appreciates you. You know what I mean? So
now you coming back? I mean, is this a full time return, or, you know, what are you trying to
Well, I mean, there's a lot of crazy. I'm a little overwhelmed with how crazy and different everything is. You know what I mean? It's definitely doesn't feel the same. I don't know whether to say that positively or negatively, but I know that there's a lot more opportunities now on a much larger scale. You know, you got all these new promotions, the UWF, TNA. You know, it seems like the E is even an open door now. Like,
yeah,
all these places, ROH is about to do something big. But I don't know if I want to jump right into that right away. You know what I mean? Because the past 3.5 years that I took this time off, I went harder for my music. And so that's what I've been doing, and that's been going well. So I'm kind of trying to take it easy for now. I'm just trying to, like, I'm just trying to take a look around first and see if it's something I want to get back into full-time and heavily, or if it's something if it's just an itch I needed to scratch, you know?
Right. Well, I hope to see you back in the ring.
Well, I've already, made a comeback to Ace, so that's where I'll be for now,
and
where else? I've been doing some things with the Urban Wrestling Federation.
Right.
So we'll see how that plays out. I'm pretty content with that for now, and if any New York feds want to book me, then I'm all for that. But as far as, like, getting on in a van and driving 14 hours to Ohio to to work in front of 50 people, that's something I'll think twice about.
Right.
Yeah.
That's understandable. Now, music. I mean, I heard some of your stuff. Definitely got a lot of talent there. Where did you start out? You know, when did you start rapping and, getting into the whole thing?
Shit, man. I started writing rhymes, like, almost immediately after I started wrestling. After I broke into the indies, because I started writing. I always had a habit of writing songs, like, since the age of 13. But when I really started to write rhymes, I was about 18 years old.
Okay.
So, yeah, and I always loved hip-hop growing up. I mean, I love all types of music. I love rock, I love jazz, I love soul, I love everything. But, hip-hop was something I was definitely raised on. I have a older brother who's 37, and, so I had that golden age hip-hop all in my ears. You know, that 90s shit, like,
all right.
That's what I was raised on. That's what I love, and I just... I just used to do it for fun, recreational, and I would write these little diss songs and spit them for my friends, and I would be dissing them in the lyrics, but they just thought it was funny. But then they'd also pick up on the fact that it was actually good,
right?
Which is rare for someone to come up to you with something good, you know what I mean? So they would always push me and encourage me to, like, try and take it serious. And I didn't really bother until, like, I was in Florida and me and this other cat got asked to do a song for LAX for TNA. And I was down there at TNA trying to, do business with that. That didn't really work out, but I ended up meeting someone there that was involved in the music industry, and she kind of took us under her wing and, like, managed us for a little bit, and she put us out there, and I got offered a deal in Florida. So when I got offered that deal, I realized, like, shit, I could really do this. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I had, like, a major label telling me I was good enough. So I was just like, if I can make money off of this, I'm going to do it because I love this. I love it anyway. So... I came back to New York and, I just went hard with it. And next thing you know, I'm signed in Tokyo and I toured France and, I've rocked with MCs that I used to listen to growing up.
Yeah, definitely. Early on, like, who were some of your influences and your favorite cats to listen to back then?
Back then, I'm all about the golden age. So I was heavy into Tribe Called Quest, De La Soul. I love KRS-One, Rakim, Nas, Black Moon, Camp Lo, Mobb Deep. I keep going on forever, man. Like, I used to listen to Tupac, Biggie, everything. Yeah, everything, man. Lost Boys.
Who's your opinion? Because everybody got their own opinion, but best ever.
Oh, shit. That's a crazy question. The best ever?
Yeah, eventually.
So that means
up.
It could be someone that's alive right now.
Yeah.
Damn, that's a rough one. I'm going to say, okay, the best ever. I'm going to say Rakim.
All right, that's definitely respectable.
Because I feel like he was ahead of his time, you know what I mean?
Of course, yeah.
He was rapping the way some cats are rapping now, like back then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But and I was a big, and I guess that's part of the reason why I was a big Nas fanatic, because I know Rakim was a big influence on him, so I'm pretty sure he influenced his style, which Nas' style influenced my style a lot.
Definitely. Yeah, a lot of people you ask, they just go with the generic Tupac or Biggie. It's like the only two answers to that question. And,
yeah, I think that they just don't know better.
Yeah, me too.
I also love Big L, man. I would have loved to see what he would have done if he would have still been alive.
That's
Big
actually
L was
the next
also,
thing out of my mouth. My next thing I was going to say was that, you know, when it comes down to, you know, the ones that we lost, I miss Big L the most.
Me too.
Respect to Big Ear Pac, but, man,
that's
Big
true,
L
man.
Was,
nah, you know your
Big
shit,
L was
then.
Nasty.
Yeah, you know your shit, because, yeah, Big L was another one, way ahead of his time. Like, his rhyme schemes and his metaphors is, like, it's crazy. Like, I still hear some of his old shit. And I compare it to shit that people are doing now, and his shit is still better than shit that's out now.
Yeah, without a question. He had, like, when you compare the amount of time that he had in the business and then put it up against Tupac, I mean, if you gave him that time, it'd be easily considered.
Uh-huh, exactly. And Tupac and Biggie, they were hit makers, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's the same way, like, how people snub the underground cats now and give all the glory to the cats doing commercial shit, because they're just making singles, they're making hit songs. Tupac and Biggie were talented, but they knew what they wanted their role to be. It seemed like they wanted more to just make that money and make hit songs, you know, make radio songs. They weren't really about showcasing themselves as, like, the best lyrical MC ever, you know. Biggie kind of leaned that way more, but, you know, he knew what he was doing. He still was out for to get his shit on the radio, you know.
Big L catered to certain markets.
Yeah. Big L, like, was just all about spitting fire, always.
Yeah.
Which I'm actually on cloud nine about, because I just shot a video called Harlem, and it's probably coming out in, like, September, but I got Big L's older brother to do a cameo for it.
Wow.
So I was like, wow, that's crazy, you know what I mean? And
Who are some of your favorite cats that you listen to right now that are still?
Oh, right now, man, there's so many cats underground that I wish people knew about, man. I mean, I would say a group that's out now that a lot of people are catching on to that I really like is Slaughterhouse.
Definitely, yeah.
Slaughterhouse, clearly. But there's other cats like El Zai, who was formerly of Slum Village.
Okay.
He's disgusting. Like, to me, he's the best rapper alive right now. Like.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's check it out.
Insanely talented. Like, and he does concepts that, like, make me want to quit. Makes me want to, like, just forget it. Like, I'm not topping this. But there's another cat named Sky Zoo, who's from Brooklyn, and he's underground. He does his thing. another cat from Detroit named Black Milk, who he's a producer and a rapper. So he spits really ill, and he makes all his own beats.
All right.
As far as radio shit, I'm not going to name much of that because I don't...
Yeah,
I'm not big on that. Like, I mean, I give credit when it's due. You know, I know Drake is doing his thing and everything, but, you know, I wish he would use his talent for a greater purpose other than just making millions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue with someone doing that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
$1 million sound a little different. Yeah, he might sound a little different.
Yeah.
At least for a minute.
Yeah, it's true.
But, yeah, man. I checked out that Beautiful Struggle song you did.
Oh, right.
Shit was definitely tight.
Thanks, man. Yeah, that's on my album, Verbal Graffiti. We dropped that, like, in 2009, but we're re-releasing it this year. It's, like, remixed, remastered. The beats are a little bit enhanced a little bit, so it sounds much crazier than the original. We only pressed 1,000 hard copies of the original, and right now that's it. That's all that's going to ever exist of that album as far as hard copy, but the new digital version is going to sound, like, 100 times better, so it's still worth the penny, you know?
Right.
But, yeah.
Well, we was wondering, definitely, too, being, you know, a lot of people don't know, you know, what you're capable of, if you could kick a freestyle for us.
All right, no problem. You want me to just go off now?
Yeah, just go ahead.
All right, I'll do a quick 16. All right. Put your money and guns down. You're about to be stripped of this perception of what you consider radio hits. Image and ignorance outnumbers those who could spit. The bullies mic mathematics make the ratio flip. Turn off the radio switch. Press play on a disc. I'm coming sick with it. Lyrics always painting a pic. Creativity's infinite. They've been waiting for this. So here it is. Real hip-hop. Your brain won't resist. That raw New York hip-hop we got now. Hot sounds coming out the stereo box. Invading backgrounds. The mood is irate. And every single word reverberating through your mind state. The verse too heavy for the lightweights. The ill is spitting on a rhyme tape. And one mic take king of the tri-state. Planetary bound at a high rate. So remember my face. There you go. Thank you.
Off the chain, dude.
But there's a lot. I got a lot of shit on the internet. Yeah, definitely some heavy
shit.
Where
can everybody find that?
All right, well, it's simple because of the way I spell my name, so it's very Googleable. All you got to do is type in Element with 2 L's and 2 T's, and that's how you will search me anywhere. You find me on SoundCloud, Bandcamp, YouTube, Facebook, MySpace, if anybody's still on there. Anyway, just Google Element with 2 L's and 2 T's. Now, if you want to get a free mixtape, it's called Project Bluebeam, and that's at element with 2 L's and 2 T's .bandcamp.com. And then the album, Verbal Graffiti, the remix remastered, we kind of put that out a little earlier on Bandcamp for a cheaper, a lower price, and early for anybody that wants to get that while it's still available, because when the label drops it in September, it's going to be like $10, $11.
Right.
But right now we got it up for like $6.99 on Bandcamp. So to get the album, it's verbalgraffiti.bandcamp.com. But
right,
other than that, the best way to find all of that is just Google me Element 2 L's and 2 T's. All right.
Eric, you got any questions before we let it?
I didn't even know somebody was there.
Yeah. So,
he's a co-host
actually,
at co-host a few
quiet,
words.
The quiet co-host. First off, I have actually we have, you know, we sometimes take you know, fan questions and all types of other stuff. But
right.
I have a fan question from Joe in New Jersey. He's a longtime, you know, Jersey All-Pro fan, and he was wondering with the upcoming Jersey Shore Championship Wrestling, ran by Fat Frank in Seaside, seeing as that you had some incredible matches in Seaside,
Right.
Will you be a part of that?
I would like to. I definitely already reached out and I let it be known that I'm back and I'm ready. The rest is up to them. You know what I mean? So I can't really totally answer that question, but I can tell you that I would if I'm asked.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah.
That's all you got.
Yeah, when he was talking about the best three, I was like, I remember fucking watching that match like a million times.
Wow, really? Shit, yeah. I don't even have that match.
Oh, video.
That's fucking awesome. Which I remember you did. They had you watching. On Thank You TV. That was
yeah.
The first time I ever seen that shit. And before the whole the Thank You TV thing, they were showing a music video of all the competitors that were in the tournament.
Right.
And you were doing doing all types of crazy shit. You did a fucking springboard DDT, all types of crazy shit.
Those were the days when I was young and had no regard for my life.
Yeah.
But, no, seriously, it's a shame a lot of these matches, I don't even find all this shit on YouTube. I'm surprised. I don't know if it's a legal thing that these matches get removed or what, but.
CZW went out of their way to pull most of the footage that was on YouTube off.
That
for
sucks.
Whatever reason. I know.
That really sucks. Same thing with ROH. I had so many good matches, I can't find any of that. JP, nothing. It's weird. So if anybody has anything, put that shit up on YouTube and let these motherfuckers know what's up.
we'll tell them that you said you told them to.
Word, for real. I am telling them to because you got all these fucking lightweights think they're hot shit right now. They don't fucking know. They don't know who paved the way. Nah, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of the new school. A lot of that new stuff is on the internet, and nobody can see the old stuff.
And it's crazy because when you go watch that stuff, you're just seeing, I'm seeing all my moves being done. It's weird.
Right.
Yeah.
But not by me.
You know what's funny? My buddy who's actually been in the business, was training with Chikara and shit like that. This past weekend he wrestled Brian XL. Brian XL made his return, I guess.
Right.
And I guess he was in jail for the last 5 years from what I've
Yeah, I wrestled told. Him when he was fresh out of jail.
And my buddy worked him one-on-one. He told me he's like it was interesting.
Why? Why was it interesting?
I guess he didn't really want to talk. They went to go over his match, and I guess he was in a foul mood.
I don't know
what happened.
If you spend enough time in jail, definitely not gonna come out smiling.
Right. So he seemed like he didn't really want to, he didn't want to do the match or anything like that. But it went off with no problem. It was just, getting the match together. It just seemed like he didn't even want to be there type deal.
He's still a professional. He's still good at what he does, so I'm sure they could have called that in the ring and it would have still been fine.
Right.
Cool. Well, Eric, unless you got anything else, we'll let him go.
Thank you for coming on.
Problem, man. If you ever want me to come on again, I'll be glad to.
Great, man. Yeah, thank you so much, and we hope to see you soon in the future. We'll be definitely keeping our ear open for all your music coming out.
Thank you, guys, man.
No problem, man.
All right,
later.
Peace.
Peace. So, yeah, man, that was The Range.
Awesome interview.
Definitely. We got a 16 out of them. We got the whole thing, man, and
sounded pretty good. I'm looking forward to hearing, more of this guy, Element and, The Range and shit like that. I just I think, you know, hopefully fucking shit goes, you know, awesome for him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, super talented guy. You know what? Let me play a song, and we'll take a break on that, and then we'll come back and we'll talk some more wrestling and stuff, so. All right? Check it out.
This is DJ Whiteout exclusive.
I just lit a candle for my nigga Rock and Roll. Rest in peace, Rock. Yeah.
The cops hate my skin, so they wanna do me in. Shove me in the pen, have me serving 5 to 10. I grew up in a city where to eat you gotta sin. I just wanna be like my suburban friends, but instead I got a thug. Yeah, I got a thug. I got a thug. The streets taught me how to thug. Wait a minute, my mother's flat broke and my father ain't around. My whole family starving, man, I gotta hold us down. I loaded up my chopper, hit the other side of town. Robbed a dealer for a couple of pounds. My nigga learning how to thug. Learning how to thug. I had to learn how to thug. How to thug. I ain't finished. Society hates me, but that hate is really fair. I'm praying every day that hate would disappear. They treat me like I ain't shit, and the message is very clear. While the devil is whispering in my ear, y'all. When it comes to thugging, I got a master's degree. Sitting here in this county jail, imagining me, the future me. Not the one that's always trapped in the streets. Not the one that see his own family wrapped in them sheets. I'm like the president of thugging as I practice my speech. Simultaneously, I'm thinking I'm the cat to impeach. Even when I'm asleep, I don't see no actual peace. I'm dreaming, I'm bleeding after squeezing at the police. Nobody gives a fuck about a nigga broken in pain. You see him in front of the liquor store, won't even throw him some change. When he die, John Doe is his name. Is that my destiny? I'm going insane. Load up my chrome in the rain. Erase a painful future, that's what I could do with my Glock 9. Should I pop it or just call the suicide hotline? Tears rolling down my face, it's do or die. Stop crying, green light, I'm dead. Or is music my stop sign? I'm in a crack hotel, I'm living grimy. Sick of hitting licks, plus I really don't trust my crimey. Mind state is slimy. I kill you and then yell, why me? Don't try me, gotta put this life behind me. See, I was brainwashed, taught that I wouldn't be shit. Believed it, now these troubled waters got me seasick. The upper class show love like it's his nepotism. The lower class we thug as a defense mechanism to protect press against them. The penitentiary system fits them in and they never miss them. Just look for better victims, and politicians never listen to whoever's bitching. They eating in a better kitchen, they on television promising better conditions. It's a repetition of lies. Open your eyes, even let your retinas listen. Listen, we shooting at the wrong target. Talking out the side of our neck, believing our own jargon. I thought that I was cursed by the gods. Dropped in the ghetto, piss poor against impossible odds. Trapped with these charlatans and philosophical frauds. In a place where being an armed robber is a logical job. Change always starts with the man in the mirror. So I'm talking to myself like, hey, crooked eye, I can hear you. Give me a 38 snub, a mask and some gloves. I can teach the whole world how to thug. But how about how to love?
So we're back. That's my shit right there.
You don't understand, goddamn.
Yo, who is that?
And that is Crooked Eye.
Oh shit.
Yeah, that's Crooked Eye right there. It's that's the thugged out version of the joint to be on the radio from another. You know what I mean? So it's what it is. But now we could talk some other wrestling. Well, I guess we'll get into the WWE thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I have an announcement to make, actually.
OK. Yeah, you go ahead.
Raw sucked. Yeah.
Really?
Raw, I have another announcement. I have another announcement. Raw really sucked. Okay?
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do, you have
do I have everybody's attention now?
Do you have any announcements to make?
Do I have any announcements to make?
Well, you should say the same thing I just said over again.
What? What's that?
I said you're supposed to say the same thing I just said.
I'm supposed to say the same thing you just said.
Well, just come on. You didn't think Raw was any good at all. Come on.
No, no, I definitely didn't think Raw was any good. But what can you do? I figure we'll start with the actual good part, which is the pay-per-view. And, you know, that's just the way I would rather go. So, yeah, the pay-per-view, off the hook, man. Like, great, great pay-per-view. I know CZW Ewok was in there talking about DJ for a while and shit, and, you know, all I gotta say is...
Fuck him! Fuck him up against the wall! Wear handcuffs on! And crazy doing all this! That's all you do!
So, yeah, that's my feeling on DJ. And then, you know, from there, the WWE pay-per-view, man, Money in the Bank was off the hook. It's funny, as I say that, I'm watching Matt Morgan climb up a ladder and take a clipboard off of a chain. So it's just crazy how TNA doesn't even pay attention to... You know, they obviously ain't trying to follow a blueprint of nobody, so that's cool. Well, the show started with the SmackDown Money in the Bank. Personally, I thought the SmackDown Money in the Bank match was 10 times better than the Raw one. And, you know, that was just the way I felt, you know what I mean? Like, the spots were crazy. You know, Sin Cara caught that powerbomb off the fucking ring apron. It's crazy. And we'll get on to a little more about him in a minute, but and it felt like that was good, more or less going to be his exit for a little while, but not really because of injury. So it's whatever there, but I thought that match came off great. Daniel Bryan coming down with that briefcase was some big shit to me. I mean, of course, something I don't like is where he just recently made like an announcement that he's going to be cashing that shit in at WrestleMania. Like, first off, how do you get to be like, yeah, I'm going to cash that shit in and like, I don't know, how many fucking months are we away from that, John? Like, like a lot of months.
A bunch, yeah.
Yeah, like 9-10 months or some shit, all right? So, and like, yeah, you know what? I'll see you in 10 months, motherfucker. Like, okay, first they got the Rock Cena thing, and that's not going to be up for the next, you know, however many months. So they planned that a year in advance. Now they're planning a world title defense a year in advance, or a little less than a year in advance, but still, like, it kind of takes the you know, the allure out of that whole Money in the Bank thing, because he's supposed to be just cashing in when you feel the opportunities right. Not so much, hey, I'll see you on... April 32nd. Yeah, I mean, well, you know, just to exaggerate, I'm going to make a new day of the month in April, and I'll see you then next year. So I need another year to do that, but I don't know. It's just stupid as hell. So, yeah, I thought that was dumb, but again, I thought the match was great. Then you had Kelly versus Brie Bella. And honestly, I was kind of surprised because this match wasn't as bad as I thought it did. Pretty early in the match, Kelly almost broke her implants off, taking a bump to the outside and shit. I was, like, pretty impressed by that. And but, you know, didn't go too long. It went, you know, it was what it was. And then, you know, they moved on after that. So it was good just because it didn't last forever, which brings
right.
me to... the next match, which I feel the very same way about, and I actually liked a whole lot less, and that was Mark Henry versus The Big Show, who I can't stand. Mark, you know, Mark Henry, he's one of the most powerful dudes in wrestling. And I believe he probably hasn't gotten enough credit for the things he's done over all these years. You got to figure, this guy has put in probably at least 20 years in the business, right?
No.
I would have,
no.
No?
Really? 15 years. Yeah, because he came in 96.
About 15 years
in the business. He came in 96. He started in WWF in 96. He was doing weightlifting because he won the World's Strongest Man competition in 96.
Right.
And then right on that, right into that, he goes into the WWE. All
right. Well,
He was working in Louisville in late 96, early 97.
Right, I hear you.
I just remember
that because
I remember seeing promos and stuff like that. They were introducing him as the World's Strongest Man, and that was 96, so.
Yeah. He's been here a long, long time. I just think, you know, he definitely deserves some
He's never got a title, a world title.
No, no. I mean, he deserves some respect for that. I mean, dude, you know, he looks probably the closest to a hippo I've ever seen a human being look, just by his face. Not saying it like he's fat or anything. I mean, he's a whole
kind
shitload
of
muscle.
Kind of like DJ, or no?
No. Because the way his eyes are sunk into his head and shit, that shit is scary, man. You've seen that motherfucker staring at you in any kind of close range, man. You need to get the fuck out of arm's length right quick, because that's a big
motherfucker.
Like
if you were in a dark alley and you seen him, probably.
But you wouldn't. not trying to be fucked up, but you ain't going to see Mark Henry in a dark alley. You just feel something big grab you and shit. you ain't gonna see him at all.
Yeah.
Unless he's wearing some bright shit. But yeah, man. But yeah, that went short and sweet. They more or less played fucking him just squashing the Big Show, which is fucking hilarious to me because, I mean, you know, Big Show's been in for a long, long time, and he hasn't really, other than his size, he hasn't earned a goddamn thing. Like, he was...
You don't think so?
No. I think he was born fucking made to go somewhere. He was like fucking, yeah, like... How much of a fucking athlete do you think Sean Bradley is?
How about Yao Ming? How about your boy Yao Ming?
Yao Ming has some talent. He actually, you know, he had a decent little hook. He had some stuff going on for him. Obviously, no longevity, but
he's retired.
Yeah, he's gone. You know, and so it's you know, it is what it is there. I'm glad they squashed him. That'll take him off TV for a while, and at least, you know, it'll...
Well, that's what you think, but you never know with WWE.
Well, they did the whole, they think his leg's broken, da-da-da-da-da stuff, and,
Yeah, but look at John Cena. He went fucking a volt, and he was back next week, so...
He went what?
Remember when, Big Show tossed him through that fucking electrical... thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it exploded. And Cena was back the next week.
Ah, well. He has far too big of a push to take a week off.
You're right.
Just like, you know, they said, hey, Cena, if you lose to CM Punk, you're fired. And then on Raw, they're like, some severe consequences. We're not going to, but you know, you shouldn't have done that. You know, just they worked right around it. It was ridiculous, but what could you do? So then next matchup was the Raw Money in the Bank. And the reason why I think the other one was so much better is so many of the spots were just botched in there. It's like R-Truth was real, real sloppy, and normally I like him quite a bit. But he was sloppy, dude, like he was missing a lot of shit. And it wasn't just him, neither. The whole match just didn't come off well worked. Like, you've seen a whole bunch of just fucked up timing. I mean, you get that many people in the ring, you really need to fucking time that shit out right. Otherwise,
right.
And I was just like, I don't know what the fuck they're even trying to do right now. So that, you know, that was that match. Alberto Del Rio won it. I don't have a problem with that. You know, I think that that's a pretty good idea. So then next up was Randy Orton, the Snake Man, versus Christian. To me, one of the most boring wrestlers in the ring, who gets so much fucking credit from the internet fans and all of those people. And I really honestly, I honestly don't know why. I just don't know why. You know, it's funny because you worked that whole Captain Charisma thing, and he probably has the least charisma in the fucking WWE that I could possibly see. He's just like a, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, some people work stiff, like, physically. He works stiff fucking emotionally. That shit, dude, just, he comes off just like fucking monotone, just really, I don't get it, so.
He's boring. He's fucking boring as hell.
Yeah, more or less. So they had a stipulation where if Orton got disqualified, then he would be he would still lose his title. So more or less, Christian spits in his mouth. I'm not even gonna say his face because they played that slow motion replay over and over, and he spit clear in his fucking mouth. It was pretty funny, but that was probably the only accurate thing Christian did all fucking match. But and yeah, so then all of a sudden Orton hit the dick kick and got it.
Boom.
You know, he was disqualified there. Then once he was disqualified, he just kept going back and hitting Christian with some more shit. He hit like fucking probably four RKOs on the fucking table and the shit didn't break. But I like the one time, I think it was like the second or third one. If you look at him, all of a sudden Randy Orton does like a, looked like a Georgie Animal Steel impression before the RKO. That shit was funny as hell. I'd be dying. He tried to lick his ear and shit. Yeah, man. He definitely looked like he tried to lick his ear and fucking rolled his eyes in his head. It was fucking funny. I was hoping he'd have a green tongue at least for that shit, but he didn't. What can you do? So, yeah, man. And then, you know, he hits him with, like, everything under the sun after the fucking match. Just destroys him. Okay? Why am I not hearing Daniel Bryan's music? See, this is the shit that makes you know that, like, they're not trying to put the title on him. So this whole, yeah, I'll see you in 8 months at the pay-per-view, you know, then, well, just, you had, like, a clear opportunity when this guy just got destroyed after the match. And he could have easily came out and won that title. But no.
Well, you could have seen Punk. Well, basically, the wrestler has to get back up. Because it's happened in the past where...
Well, he did,
you know,
get back up and dragged his way up the entrance ramp. He wasn't carted off or any of that.
Yeah, but he has to be able to have a match. He can't just get beat up.
And oh, no. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
No,
he could, as soon as he got up off that table, he could have grabbed him, slid him in the ring, hit a move, and fucking won.
No, because basically when they do one of the big deals, and I've seen this numerous times with when The Miz tried to cash it in on Orton, he would come in and they would be like, oh, the Matt, he can't compete. So he couldn't cash in his Money in the Bank then because somebody was unable. I think it was Orton. I think when he beat Orton.
Really?
I don't know. You have to fucking be able to answer the referee saying, yo, are you able to do this match? Do you want to do this match?
There's no way.
When Punk did that shit last year, that shit, this was the same shit. Like, they fucking, like, I remember watching and going, what the fuck? Shouldn't you just be able to just run in there and be like, yo, I'm fucking telling this guy, I'm the champion now.
No, to a certain extent you can do that, but they may work it a little differently depending on the champion and this and that, but I know that the champion doesn't have to agree to it. You cash it in and you get your title shot.
No, not agree, but you have to be able, like, to fucking, like, be willing to have a match. Like, you have to be able, not like you don't have to grieve. You just have to be up. Like you have to be in some form to wrestle. You can't just, you know, have somebody fucking like, you know, hit him with a car or shoot him in the face with something. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they have to actually be able to fucking wrestle in order to have a match. You know, they can't be completely, you know, decapitated type deal. You know what I'm saying?
Shot him off, you got a gun, fucking shoot him in the face.
You can't win the title that way.
What's that?
You can't win the title that way?
Nah.
You just start tomorrow, you can't just get a gun and shoot him in the face?
Well, hey, they would love to do that, but, you know, you just can't, you know. Not in WWE. Not in the WWE. Only if DJ ran that company would they be able to do that. DJ would let that shit go. What's your thoughts on DJ? I haven't heard that
DJ,
in a while. Hey,
DJ, more or less, well, I mean, I'm just going to quote the president.
He's a jackass.
You know, it's more or less what it is.
The president has a fucking really good view. I agree, President. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. You know,
you smell what Barack is cooking.
You know.
Yep, I do.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. So, more or less, man. Then, obviously, the next matchup was fucking the much waited for, the much anticipated John Cena and CM Punk.
This shit right here, nigga. This shit right here, nigga. Right here. This shit, nigga. This shit here, nigga.
This shit was off the hook. What was funniest to start the match was Cena coming out to a chorus of boos. I don't know if the CM Punk chants were louder or if the Punk chants were louder or the Cena boo was louder, because I'm telling you, man, they lit his ass up like he didn't fucking belong there. Like they just let some dude in the back door and shit to fight a main eventer, yo. That shit was off the hook. And, I mean, I don't know, you know, how bad fucking CM Punk's, you know, back is hurting from carrying fucking Cena that whole match, but I understand why he's taking some time off, because he carried quite a load in through that match, man. And Cena, I mean, the two spots that were clearly blown by Cena, and the one looked blown. It looked like really fucking blown, and that was the crossbody. Apparently,
right.
You know, in all his years in the WWE, he never learned that he needed to step into the crossbody. So, you know, I'm not a wrestler. I guess he did that right, and he was supposed to take it to the ankle. Supposed to take an ankle crossbody. But, you know, a lot of things could have happened. What can I tell you? But, you know, either way. The other spot, I loved the fact that he blew this. Because, again, not a wrestler, but I'm pretty sure you're supposed to turn your head when it comes to a fucking running knee to the head. And Cena just kept looking straight on like he was taking a fucking driver's license photo. And, man, CM Punk landed his knee directly to his fucking chin. You saw his head kind of like scrunch up. Almost turned him into Stewie and shit from Family Guy. It was fucking great, man. They replayed it a few times. The knee was where he was resting up against the middle rope, and Punk came from across the ring, and you go watch that knee back, and he landed that shit flush. I don't know how he didn't knock him clear the fuck out. I can tell you John Cena's got a strong jaw. That's for fucking sure. But that was great. And then yeah, man, I mean, those are the only two flaws that you could clearly see in the match. I thought the match went really well. A lot of false finishes. I mean, it just really came off just like you didn't know what was going to happen. And CM Punk winning that match, man, fucking world blew up. I mean, you could just hear everybody from their fucking house, from the, you know, up here, fucking people loving it, to down south, fucking people.
Hell fucking yeah!
You know, it just bugging out. And That's what it is. And I was really happy. And, you know, Vince came down. He tried to, you know, get Del Rio to come cash in the Money in the Bank, John. And Punk just nailed him with a kick as he entered the ring and fucking hopped the guardrail, walked right out with that title. So...
So pretty much that means once you try to cash in your belt, like Del Rio should have. So basically, that's what I'm talking about. Like, you know, he can't really cash it in until, you know,
well,
ring the belt.
Well, he could have cashed it in, but he had to. Him as the challenger had to come in and say he was cashing it in. But as he hit the ring, he got nailed with a fucking kick, and the guy left the building before he could fucking say a word. You know.
Okay.
So I think that's why that went that way. You know what I mean? Like if he came in and said, I'm cashing in, then got hit with a kick, he would have lost his money in the bank. Yeah, he could have pinned him, fucking kept the title.
How pissed would people be if that happened?
Yeah, that would have been bad, really, really bad. You know. You know, it is what it is. I mean, let the rumors begin as what's going to happen next, what's going to happen next. Well, so then they fast forward to Raw the very nice next day, and Jesus Christ, if they couldn't have botched that anymore. No, he didn't cash it in, Nina. So that was what that was, and Raw the next day, just, you know, it goes from, like, great pay-per-view. These guys put on some fantastic shit, man, and... you know, left everybody fucking on their feet at the end of that. And, you know, then they went on to Raw. You know, pause for a minute, because I got TNA on my TV, and the Mexican Americana, I think they're called, what are they going to do when Chavo comes into TNA and then they have two Chavos? Because this one dude, he looks just like Chavo. With a bunch of tattoos. You know what I'm talking about? Like, who is that guy? And then they got, I don't know, who's this Mankind-looking chick with him?
Huh?
There's a chick with, like, a half a Mankind mask or an Abyss mask on. Right there. What the fuck is that?
I don't got this shit on.
Okay. Alright.
Fuck that shit.
Well,
I don't turn TNA on. After that fucking debacle last week. Fuck that shit.
Someone logged in as another Yakuza kick. That's entertaining.
another Yakuza kick? What the fuck?
Yeah, Yakuza kick 2, 4, 8, 9, 8.
Alright. Alright, so, let's figure out who the fuck that was. Right.
Welcome to more Yakuza kick members. Whatever. What can you do? So, now I don't know what's on her face, Nina. So I was just trying to ask a second ago. I'm not even sure who that is, because they got a fucking mask on and shit, looking all silly. Yeah, he's Chavo on the gas. Which, speaking of, Chavo, man, if he's not the Mexican Matt Hardy right now, man, he's doing nothing but running his fucking mouth about everything in fucking WWE, and he's all disgruntled and butthurt. Now all of a sudden, Eddie didn't get his just due, and he didn't get his just due, and I'm just like, yo, what the fuck? Like, I don't really know. I don't know. So, not really sure what the deal is. There's all sorts of different shit going on in the chat room. You there, Eric?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, now you're in number, huh?
Yeah, I was at Yakuza Kick 2, and then all of a sudden it fucking tells me your system has been logged off. And then I was like, what the fuck? Like, the chat fucking logged me off, but I was still on the chat room.
Yeah, it's weird. All right. So Eric's
know.
The other new Yakuza.
I'm Yakuza Kick 2, 4, 8, 9, 8. And you're Yakuza Kick 2, 9, 5, 7, 4.
Yeah, we got like prison numbers in this bitch. It's off the hook.
I think that's the amount of total people listening right now.
Oh, isn't that nice? I don't think so, though. You know.
Someone should get to the bottom of that.
think we should. I think you're right. Whoever that was.
That's right.
Oh, maybe that was,
that's right,
maybe that was Yakuza. That was definitely Yakuza Kick 2-5, I think.
So did WWE Walk thought that was time to play Where in the World is Eric? Oh, well. There's always next time. But yeah, man,
this isn't about time where we play Where in the World is Eric, because when
God
happened,
help us, Jesus, God and baby Jesus help us.
Okay.
Yo, Jay, why are you putting all these different people on the phone? Like, I don't understand it.
I don't know.
Like, you keep, like, all these numbers keep coming up, and you just keep, you know, and they come on, and they fucking say a couple words. Like, what's up with this?
I know. I'll
let you run the switchboard, and fucking, you're letting fucking the president call in, you're letting, Bill Burr. I don't know who you fucking letting them call in. Like, I'll bet
you,
motherfuckers.
You never, ever know.
Right. Yeah. No, but like when you have to play Where in the World is Eric, it's pretty much show's over for Eric. Cause if you get what I'm talking about. Yeah, you must be outside. Is there a couple owls near you? I need to like find a new home for those owls. Tell them to get out of there.
Those would be crickets, Eric. Those would be crickets.
Oh, that sounds like owls. Sounds like one of those would start doing.
You live a long way from the forest, don't you? Crickets and owls, huh? Anyway, Raw sucked. Okay.
Raw is bore.
Well, they pretty much started the night and just said, all right, well, you know, CM Punk left with that other title, so let's make another title. And we'll have a 8-man tournament for it, one-night tournament. Let me repeat, one-night tournament for this belt, right?
Repeat it. I didn't hear you. What did you say?
One-night tournament.
Okay. Remember that.
Yeah. So they go through the thing, and the first thing that I thought was really, really dumb is that one of the people in that tournament was Alberto Del Rio. And shit, let's be honest, he just won Money in the Bank. Why would he fight in the tournament to get a title shot that he already has? He's walking out to the fucking ring for a tournament with a title shot in his hand. That shit is silly as hell. That shit don't make no motherfucking sense. So we go through this fucking, this whole shit show, and really nothing stood out. And they had, at one point, I think it was like 10 bitches, right? Wasn't it like 5-on-5 or 6-on-6? Yeah, 6-on-6. 12-bitch tag match. Fucking Beth Phoenix and a bunch of other bitches, right? So 30 seconds in, boom, Beth Phoenix hit the finish, match over. 11 other chicks walk to the back not knowing what the fuck to do with the rest of their night. They ain't get no offense. They barely seen their face on the camera. Crazy as hell, man. I don't even understand, but so that's what it was. Beth Phoenix goes over 11 other chicks in 30 seconds. It was a tag match, but still. More or less went over a team, not giving them no offense, but that's the booking for you. Yeah, Alberto Del Rio is pretty impressive. So they do the whole thing. Now they come down to what's supposed to be the finals. Well, Vince comes out and tells them, well, the finals have been postponed. Because, been postponed to next week because I have something very important to do. I have an announcement.
I hate announcements!
And so I'm just like, alright, fucking shit, let's go. So then you get John Cena out there, and this shit's like a fucking DJ Hyde promo. It just drags on and on and on and on and on. And I'm just sitting there mad as hell. I'm just like,
you were on the phone with me. We're fucking shooting, shooting the shit while we're both watching Raw. And
he's just going on.
Like,
and he's saying, he's not He didn't say he wasn't fired, but he clearly wasn't fired. And he's just like, you know, it's going to be severe repercussions for you. It's really, you know, we gotta do something. Dude, you're talking about Mickey's Yummy, but I look at my screen and I see Arby's and shit. So I don't know if Arby's, Mickey James looks like a pile of Arby's or something, but that's all I seen when I looked up. Jesus. DJ, I had segments for the win. So yeah, man. He goes on and on and on, and then out comes Triple H. In
well,
a suit.
First off, you forgot one part where Cena shoots on TNA.
Yeah. He said something along the lines of, you know,
if you fire me, I'll just take my wrestling ability and I'll take it over to another network. Right there.
Wrestling ability. I'm sorry. I couldn't contain myself.
Yeah.
So yeah,
to TNA, brother.
Yeah, because that's how big of a threat they are. That Vince doesn't give a shit if his wrestlers mention that fucking company on fucking national TV. So that's a sad day for TNA when they get fucking name dropped on the quote unquote competition.
Right.
And it doesn't fucking affect anybody. That's just great. I love it. And then he does that thing. Triple H comes out in a suit, and you know, of course he does. He's Triple H. After that, you know, he pretty much starts to tell Vince that I'll sit the board. Which honestly, listen, fucking Vince is—they've been calling Vince the chairman of the board and stuff for a minute now, but they've never referred to anybody else that was on the board. Or the actual board having any say in anything. They've never changed a match. They've never did anything with any inner workings of the company. Then no one ever fucking says, the board's not happy with that. All that general manager shit they were doing. Not once did they go, the board overrides this decision. You know, none of this shit, right? So he comes
out.
Care. No. He comes out and he starts talking all this shit about, the board doesn't like the way you're doing things, and I think it's about time that you get replaced. And they decided that you're going to be replaced by me. Now, Vince has been built for fucking ever, for decades, as the fucking, as the guy who is the most arrogant, power-headed douchebag in the business. He can't be told shit by anybody. You know what I mean? And Triple H is just like, hey, I love you, Pop, but I'm going to be taking your spot now. And Vince pretty much tears up and fucking leaves the ring and goes home.
Let me ask you one thing. How do you think the stockholders feel?
Confused.
Are they jumping off the ship?
I hope they jump off of something higher than a ship, but, you know, it just, I can't understand it because, like, they quickly try to, like, overshadow the whole, you know, CM Punk thing, which they'll bring that back around, which I'm going to play a clip in a minute that also, you know, shows a little bit of that. But, yeah, man, like, no fight, no, you're not taking me out of my company, not... You can't tell me what to do, not anything. It's like, wow, okay, son-in-law, I'm out of here. Fucking,
no
really?
Stephanie either. There's no
yeah.
Stephanie.
Shit just came off really, really gay.
Came off awkward. Came off real awkward, like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah. Like
not
enough
good awkward, like a bad awkward.
Yeah, I don't really know what a good awkward is, but yeah, he didn't come off well. I was just sitting there like, this
well,
is
like an angle, like an angle. Like it just fucking seemed like, oh, they were bullshitting.
And as the screen goes to black and there's no argument, I'm sitting there and I'm just like,
fucking bullshit.
You know, and that's it. That was our Raw for the week. So
is awful.
Yes, it is. Very awful. Yep. What is Juan telling me?
I don't know. I have no idea what the fuck Juan's talking about sometimes.
No. I don't know. Yeah, it's super gay. Which is far different than super crazy if you know the wrestling business.
Hey, Jay, you want me to put the call-in number out there so people can call in?
Sure. We'll put the call-in number out. In the meantime, I'm going to play a clip that, it has... this is CM Punk invaded Comic-Con this past week. He showed up with the world title. Triple H was doing a Q&A. Now, the beginning of the video, you're going to hear just like a lot of like crowd noise, and the audio isn't the best, but... it's pretty funny what he ended up saying. And like I said, so just check this out. And I'll talk over it a little bit because, here we go. Yeah, so now, right now you see CM Punk walking through the crowd. Yeah, just walking. You'll notice when he walks into the room with Triple H.
Hey, I have a question.
Yeah!
Contact us anytime you want to come back and perform like a champion. And CM Punk said, you guys know where I'm at. I'm sure Stephanie has my phone number, so and walked out, He's great on the mic, man. It's definitely gonna be missed. I'm sure he'll be back in no time because the WWE is not gonna do well without him. He became the biggest draw, biggest face and heel at the same time. And we'll see what goes on with that. There's very many ways they could go with that storyline, and so we'll see. So yeah.
You want me to give that phone number out?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, the number to call in is 347-215-8300.
Absolutely. And Nina seems to think ODB is a man with implants. I don't know.
We'll see about that. Who in the hell knows?
Yeah, man. I just keep watching TNA, and I'm not really sure how to feel about it. It's just brutal. Sting is looking more ridiculous by the week. I mean, you just think about, you know, back in the day when he was, feuding with Muda, you know, and doing the incredible things that he did back in the day. Now, you look at the TV, you see fucking Sting with fucking paint on his face like the Joker, acting like a fucking goofball. Like, every day of the fucking year is Halloween for this guy now. And I just look at the TV and just think,
fuck you!
Because I can't handle that shit. I mean, you go from the Crow to fucking the Joker. I don't know what's next. I just don't know what's next. I think it's ridiculous. It's one thing to be older and stuff like that, but, and it's one thing to reinvent yourself. Oh, man, to reinvent yourself as another dead actor, I don't know. It's just very difficult to see a guy go out like that. I mean, is this just something that's, when Sting finally does retire, if that ever happens, you know, this is the way we're going to remember Sting?
Retirement? Ha! That's funny.
Like, I don't know. Just leaves you with a bad taste in your mouth when you're thinking about Sting, because it's, you know, he's known for much better things than this, and now it's just a terrible, terrible sight. Yep. So, what else we got? I know there's some indie shows going on.
Definitely a lot of.
I think Pro Wrestling Guerrilla is coming on this weekend.
August 6th, I think.
August 6th?
No, you're right.
I think it's this weekend. See if I can pull it up. It's this Saturday, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's what did they got? I think they got Hero, Claudio, and
I'm gonna find out
out real quick. I know there's only a few announced matches and stuff, but looks pretty big. I mean, they seem to do some pretty big shit over there. And
I know we promoted it last week.
Yeah, I know. But I figure, you know, it's going on this week. And what else? Well, you do have the really big CZW show coming up. We still have, you know, some weeks to promote that. However, it will be Drake Younger and Scotty Vortex in a two-ring circus death match. That is going to be fucking substantial. It's also an IPPV, so, people who aren't able to get out to Philly can watch it right, at their house with that. You know, and they got...
Should be interesting.
Yeah.
I see how they pull that pay-per-view.
You got the Black Keys challenging for the world title against Devin Moore. You got...
New champ.
You got, what else do we got? We got Little Mondo in a rematch against Matt Tremont in an ultraviolent tables match.
Did they announce that?
Yes, they did. They have their videos up and all of that stuff, so. Yep.
Okay.
It's not really sure how that's going to go down.
That flyer was right that we read. Remember we were, you know.
Yeah, the flyer was right, but honestly, they got to print out a new flyer because holy shit. Oh, man.
Why do you say holy shit? Well, a lot of spelling mistakes or what?
What?
What do you? They have a lot of spelling mistakes or what?
Are we what?
Do they have a lot of spelling mistakes or what?
No, it's just man, fucking. Yeah, that the Younger Vortex Circus Death Match is gonna be bananas. But yeah, the thing is, you got first off, Circus Deathmatch first time ever in the ECW, CCW, Asylum, New Alhambra, whatever the fuck you want to call it, arena. You got that. And, you know, the top of the card has not Drake Younger, Devin Moore versus, you know, Black G's. I mean, yeah, it is a world title match. However, it's, you know, got to be lower on the card than the fucking Circus Deathmatch, for Christ's sake. Unless they start the day with the Circus Deathmatch, and still, the biggest attraction of it is the Circus Deathmatch. So, it's pretty substantial, man. And I don't understand why you would, and they don't even announce it as a Circus Deathmatch. I don't know if that's to keep authorities off their back. I don't know what it is. I don't know if, again, I don't know if this is the official program. But on top of that, you got Devin on the top of the poster, a picture of Devin and a picture of Sabian. Sabian looks like he's taking a shit. And Devin, I've never seen Devin make this face before, but he looks legit retarded. He's got like his arm like curled up in front of him, and his face couldn't look more retarded if he tried. If he dressed as a retard for Halloween, he would make that same face all day long. You know? It's the silliest looking thing you could ever see.
I have the card. I want to see a picture. I want to see what this fucking flyer looks like. Can you send it to me while we're on the air? I would like to laugh at this.
I don't know how to do that. I'm pretty sure you can go on Jesus' Facebook. Or CCW's
okay.
Facebook or something.
Okay. I got the card.
One of those.
I got the card here. All right. So, PWG World Championship title match. The champion, Claudio Castagnoli, takes on Davey Richards and Chris Hero.
Yeah.
Now, this match was originally a singles match between Claudio and Davey, but low-key can't make it. So, Chris Hero got thrown in that match.
Right.
Should be awesome.
The
match.
Young Bucks,
Matt and Nick Jackson, recently, who got their release from TNA, taking on the Japanese wrestler Shima and Mr. F and Kevin Steen.
I think Steen is actually pulling a double work that night.
Yeah. You got Generico and Ricochet versus Shelley and Roderick, and then you have Pac versus Kevin Steen.
Right. Yeah, pretty big stuff, man. So, Juan, I don't know why you're posting in the chat room. Can you say something? But what can I do?
Huh?
No, Juan's asking in the chat room, hey, can I say something? So, yes. I don't know. What can you do?
Yes, I think it is fair to say.
That's what it is. So, what else do we got going on, man?
What else we got? Let's see what we got. We got, CCW, but how about this? How about, I remember Ashton talking about this the other day on Monday. Planet of the Apes is coming out.
Oh, yeah, Planet of the Apes. Oh, man. Well, you know, there's some shit about it that I think looks awesome. It really does. Like, visually, looks unbelievable. So, that is number one, all right? But I kind of got to, like, echo the sentiments of Bill Burr on his podcast, and I agree. I mean, it's PG-13. Now, you're supposed to be putting out a movie about apes taking over the fucking world, like overthrowing people and all of that shit. You seen what happened when one monkey bit a bitch face off? That shit should be a whole movie of that. This shit should be brutal. But nah, it's PG-13, so they'll just punch him or something and just maybe throw them around and yell at them. Like, really need to see fucking brutality. These apes should be ripping limbs off of people. You know, you just see like a fucking flock of them just running over shit. You should really have brutal stuff. Either way, I mean, I'll watch it because, I mean, the effects and everything like that, it looks insane. But
right.
I think you got to get an R rating on that. I just don't think that's right not to put that out on a R rating.
You know, Juan posted DMT is doing another show in Morgan, New Jersey.
I guess we'll see.
Is that show that fucking never
got
ran
canceled
before?
The first time? Yeah, you know,
yeah,
deathmatch tournament.
Yeah, who runs that?
Some guy from out in Cali. And I mean, honestly, it's some guy out in Cali. You know, you start out a company called Deathmatch Tournament and then, like, set your sights on running in New Jersey. Dude, they don't allow death matches all over Jersey like that. So, I mean, it's, you know, I wish you luck, but,
yeah, why don't they just run in California?
As our friend in the chat room was saying, deathmatch wrestling is pretty much non-existent in California.
Is that because it's banned, or is it because it's just you just don't see it? Because I know XPW used to do it. That's what I'm wondering.
Well, let me see.
They were doing all types of crazy shit, nails and all types of other bullshit.
Well, the one is in Morgansville, New Jersey. The other one is in, where the hell is this? Morgansville, New Jersey, I think. I don't know. I can't find the cards for this because it's got like a real retarded website. And I don't know if anyone can find me the cards for it. But it's just like, it's got, you know, Necro and Corp and a lot of those guys. And who else they got? Pondo, Masada, you know, and a lot of like just death matches lined up. Ignition, I think, is the first show, and I'm not really sure where the fuck it is because, again, this website is fucking horrific. I don't know. I just never saw it getting off the ground. People were like, oh, I'm getting my tickets. I remember talking to Devin and a few other people at the Low Key Sammy show. And it was probably only a couple weeks away from that. And I was standing there telling Devin, who was booked on it and everything, too. I said, that bitch is going to be canceled. I said, they ain't fucking having that show. And he's like, oh, whatever, dude. I'll take a payday to give it to me. I said, all right. Well, sure enough, canceled. So now they rescheduled it. And I think it's in August or whatever. But, you know, we'll see.
They ain't running no fucking death match. Get the fuck out of here with that fucking
shit. Either
going to
downgrade the shit out of it, or it will be shut down. Or they will fucking cancel it again. So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, it just...
Why don't they just run in Delaware? Why don't they just find a place in Delaware to run it?
Because it's a Cali-based company that came out here, and, I think you could search for, like, their promos on it and stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, but if your first show got canceled, who the fuck cares about your second show? Your second show doesn't mean anything anyway.
What?
I said, what the fuck? Like, why do people give a shit about this company? Like... Because they're false advertising, and they're not
Obviously, it generates a lot of hype, and it generates a lot of, people get interested real quick because it's something you don't think that can happen. The fact of the matter is because it can't. So,
right. Like, I could go out of my way and, you know, fucking promote the shit out of a fake fucking bed that I fucking run in fucking Wisconsin, And I could be like, yo, we're going to have some crazy-ass matches. Like, fucking Kenny Kobashi's coming out of retirement to fucking wrestle AJ, you know, or Necro. You know, I could
they're advertising Necro versus Masada in a Taipei death match. So,
absolutely
not in Jersey or not. Not in Jersey or not, man. Just don't see it happening.
Maybe a wrestling match with fucking wrist locks and arm bars, but...
July 30th, actually.
That, absolutely not. That shit ain't happening. They'll fucking cancel that shit. That shit's a joke. I'm gonna start a fucking promotion. Kobashi on the first card. Wisconsin, in front of five people. I'm bringing Kobashi in, man. Let's do it. Yeah,
Kobashi on the curb jerker?
Yeah, opener. He's opening the fucking show, man. Fucking,
right.
I got arms. I got my arms.
You got what?
Anyway, I got the biggest arms in the wrestling business. Come on. The 26-inch arms, come on.
How big?
Yeah, you know.
Huh.
The size of the Mass Maniac's arms.
Ah, I see. Maybe. I don't know, man.
I'm like, really? Because no, you fucking can't.
You're going to run a tournament, a death match in fucking Jersey, are you?
I'm like, really? Because no, you fucking can't.
So.
What is your... Hey, we had a... Earlier on, we had a... Call the president real quick. We had him give his thoughts on this owner. What's his thoughts on this owner?
The thoughts on this owner.
He's a jackass.
You know.
Yes, I think it is fair to say.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on Devin thinking that this show is going to happen?
These are the kind of decisions that would keep me up at night.
Yeah, more or less.
I definitely think so. But, Kobashi's wrestling AJ. Sammy is going to wrestle Little Mondo. 500, a bundle of light tubes with 500 light tubes. And we're going to have a fucking a women's match. We're going to have a women's intergender match. We're going to have, Sarah Del Rey versus the Necro Butcher.
Oh. Huh.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Oh, they're on the card too. I forgot about that. They're tagging up to take on Chavo Guerrero and Matt Hardy.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the first thing I thought. I was like, oh man, you're listing off some really great talent.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
You know,
they are. They're here. They're going to be in Wisconsin. We have a fucking small ass ring. You can't even do fucking moves. This fucking, it's ridiculous. We have a four. It's pretty much in a cornfield. So
everybody in the chat, you know, refresh because I guess they're telling me that the show is over, which it's not.
No,
so.
It's definitely not.
So
3-hour show.
Huh?
I said it's definitely we got a 56 minutes.
No, they're all screaming archive. No,
56 minutes left in the show.
Yeah.
56 minutes of live show. It says 56 minutes 16 seconds. Look at the switchboard.
Yep. So. I guess we'll hopefully everybody, you know, let us know you could hear us again. That'd be awful nice. And,
do I have everybody's attention now?
So, we'll have to see. Oh, man. Blog Talk Radio says you're still on. Yes, we are. We definitely are. People are logging in and out.
There we go.
Yep, everybody's back. So, okay, what else we got, Eric? Not really sure.
One said Devin Moore's on the DMT.
Yes, he is. I'm sure he is.
Oh, my buddy. Well, I didn't even realize my buddy John Alvarez was in the chat room. Didn't even know that.
All right, you know what? Let me play some Angry Grandpa for everybody. And, you know, we'll...
Which one you got?
This one. Check it out. Now, we'll be back in 1 minute. Now, we'll hopefully think of some stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Man, you all the time doing this shit to me.
Yeah, but this one you'll probably like.
Hey, Newton.
Watch.
That sounds pretty good. Oh, goddamn! Is that goddamn bitch Friday?
Yep.
I'm about to prove it wrong.
No, you didn't prove me right. Who had the goddamn gall to put that fucking bitch back on the goddamn... She's 14 years old. She needs to be home playing with her goddamn doll. Wait, I'm talking to her boyfriend. She got white teeth, though. Why did her old man rich? Oh, my God. She got the same amount of... She ain't got no goddamn zit. Look at that. That ain't normal. Yeah, you're right. It's the moment you need to realize you can't fucking sing. Goddamn, at least you ain't got no goddamn rappers that can't fucking even rap. Yeah, them are goddamn paid dancers there. Them goddamn freaks you got hanging around the hood. Fuck you, bitch! You made me hurt my back! Stop! Yeah, you won't think I'll have that goddamn ugly face of yours, you non-singing bitch!
That's her mom.
But her mom is a goddamn lesbian bitch. Mama's sucking her pussy. My God. I don't believe it. Incest. You are one goddamn ugly motherfucking little 14-year-old. Yeah, you ought to jump up and down. You ought to jump up and down off a goddamn building, bitch. God, yeah, that's, I don't want to do that shit. Throw it off. Turn it off. Goddamn, fuck this goddamn shit.
That's Angry Grandpa and his opinions on Rebecca Black. So we echo the sentiments over here on Yakuza Kick Radio. Yeah. He's always a lot of fun to listen to. He's always such a mellow, calm guy.
He's been getting a lot of publicity lately. A lot of publicity. I've seen him everywhere.
Yeah, he was actually on the Honky Tonk Man's podcast. He went on there and talked to them. It's pretty entertaining.
He's been on everybody's podcast.
I just listened to this guy, and I'm just like...
All my life, people telling me I'm fucked up.
You're fucked up. I think he's fucked up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
what's going on with Reggie?
Oh, Reggie. I don't know.
we have another clip to play. And Obama fucking has some thoughts on Reggie.
Oh, hold on. Obama? Yeah.
He's a jackass.
Yeah, that's how he feels about that.
Do you smell what Barack is cooking?
I don't know. Can he make me some eggs? Can you make me eggs? I'm hungry now.
These are the kind of decisions that would keep me up at night.
I know. I have an announcement to make.
Ah. You have an announcement?
Yeah.
What kind of announcement? Because honestly,
I hate announcements!
Well, now you fucking say I hate announcements, I'm not going to tell you my announcement.
Oh, okay, good. That's just fine.
Shut up!
Well, Vinci, yep. I will after I body slam your fucking ass.
Oh, really?
We don't care! We don't care! We don't care! We don't care!
Now,
do
you
understand, goddamn?
I have a clip. What is everybody's thoughts on when DJ tries to put himself over in the main event?
We don't care. We don't care. We don't care. We don't care.
More or less.
By the way, call the number once again is 347-215-8300. I know people have something to say, so call in and tell us.
Yep. Anyone's more than welcome to call in. You know, we more or less covered the bulk of what we have to talk about. What else is there? It's Jersey All-Pro is launching. It's not Jersey All-Pro. It's actually... no, it's We Don't Care. It's okay, though, Juan.
We don't care.
Because I'm fucking stupid. I don't give a fuck.
I know you don't give a fuck.
Yeah. So
you sound like DJ. You sound like DJ.
Oh, please. No,
but talking trash.
So that's more or less that. Jersey Shore Wrestling or something along those lines is running a free wrestling show at Seaside Heights, right there on the beach. I think Casino Pier or something. That's Fat Frank launching his own wrestling company. And, I'm not going to be able to make it out there. I'll be babysitting a certain New Horrors dog while he goes to get married. And, but anybody else who wants to go out there and check that out, go ahead. It's just a brand new company, so, wish them the best. Hope that, turns out to more good wrestling in the state of New Jersey, and, I'm all for it.
Hey, I wasn't going to even run a show in 2010. I wasn't going to do it.
Yeah. It's, more or less what happens. And, what else is there? I could swear that there was other wrestling shows going on, coming up. Oh, Evolve is running on... Tuesday? Wednesday?
Tuesday.
Some kind of shit like that. Tuesday. There you go.
Yeah, definitely some type of shit.
And
yeah.
Yeah. They're running on
a Tuesday. Absolutely.
Yeah, a Tuesday.
Have fun with that. Have fun with that.
Yeah. Kind of a big dream match. I mean, they're having Fit Finley one-on-one with Sammy Callahan. That's
should be a fun match.
Pretty fucking substantial. I think that shit can get very fucking interesting very, very fast.
What do you mean, very interesting, really, really fast?
Very interesting, dude. You got a veteran in Fit Finley against the self-proclaimed hardest-hitting man in wrestling. So... there could be offense taken to, a certain level of, offense. There could be, the veteran could try to take liberties with a certain, Sammy Callahan, which...
Phil Family's a professional. He's not going to play that bullshit.
He's a professional, but he's known to be a stiff guy, and you never know, man. I don't expect it to go any way of unprofessional.
Sammy can handle his own.
Of course he can. Of course
you
can
deal with Loki. You can deal with them all.
Yeah.
No. Loki is one of the stiffest guys in the business.
Yeah, of course he is.
Down. What was that?
Yeah. I said, of course he is.
So yeah.
Yep.
Somebody's gonna get it from Sammy.
Yeah, definitely. who's the actual main event of that? Because unfortunately, that's not
Chuck
even the main
Taylor
event.
Chuck versus Johnny Gargano. Who the fuck cares?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I have no idea where they get that from, how that's going to main
do we
event.
Care?
But they
do
probably
we care?
Have.
Do we care?
Do we care?
We don't care. We don't care. We don't care. We don't care.
Right. You know, but maybe they got some big shit planned. I don't know. As far as I know, I see that, you know, Sami Callihan going one-on-one with, you know,
Fit Finley,
and, you know, I see that as, wow, what a big match. And then all of a sudden they're like, no, but the main event is Chuck Taylor and Johnny Gargano. And I'm just like,
I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
You know, more or less, that's the way I look at it, you know. So, I don't know.
And by the way, if you go to a show on a Tuesday, you should be shot in the face.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you actually, you know, find a time in your week to go to a show on Tuesday, but...
Start them off, you got a gun, fucking shoot them in the face!
Any callers? I'm out of the room.
No,
right now.
I don't see any callers. You know, anyone can call in. Got some shit to talk.
Hey, what about Juan? Where the fuck's Juan at? Let's go. Get Juan on the line.
Juan's busy misspelling things in the chat room. He's not, you know. I don't know what to tell you, but, you know.
I ain't scared of you motherfuckers.
That's for sure. All right.
Yeah, so, I got a funeral this weekend. Tomorrow.
Well, that's a way to brighten everybody's mood.
Yeah, so it's early tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
It'll be real interesting. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And this show is, well, 1 year anniversary. I can't believe it.
Yes, it is.
No, I
can't
believe it. I'm not gonna sit there and fucking bullshit you. I can believe it. We've done 52 straight weeks in a row for the show, though. I'll be honest, that's fucking impressive as hell.
52 weeks, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't gotten any, let me see if I could check real quick while I talk. See if I can get the latest on this. Oh, come on, computer. Jesus. Goes slow. When I'm looking for something, it's probably the worst on time ever. And I just sit there, and all you could hear is Eric's owls.
Oh, those fucking crickets, as you like to fucking say. I'll fucking shoot them in the face.
Okay, so, yeah, we're, I think, probably close to the end of the NFL lockout, which makes me very, very happy. And,
It is going to be
fucking substantial. If the players vote on Friday,
tomorrow.
On whether the owners have already accepted the deal, and now we're just seeing if the players will accept this deal tomorrow, and I am fucking hyped up. I need this NFL season to fucking go down, man. So, you know, I could bust Eric's ass in the pool again. And
by the way, I'm gonna be joining that other pool. So you got to get me the information.
Yes, I definitely will. Get you in there. We'll be doing our on-the-air thing and having a ball with it as we did last year. Of course, we'll keep better track of it this year. We didn't have any
You decided to not keep track of it. Once you decided off-air, you're like, Eric, you know more about football. You win this year.
Is that right?
You stop it. I will fucking take this guy out right now. You're one of the few guys I am certain I can take down.
What guy are you talking about? I have no idea what guy you're talking about. And why is your voice changing?
I don't know, man. I get that sometimes, you know.
Like, you're talking, and all of a sudden I hear you fucking, like, I think you definitely need to get that checked out. Like, I'm worried about you, man. You're fucking getting into all types of voice. You're doing the iron, you know, Iron Sheik is coming out of your mouth, and, you know, I'm waiting for Borat to come out of your mouth next.
I don't know if I could, you know.
Well, the jerk star called. They're running out of you.
Oh, wow. Oh. That sounded like Frank Costanza just now.
Yeah, I don't know. George Costanza.
George Costanza, my bad.
No, that's not, no, you're definitely not that. I'm confused. I don't understand how you can change your voice 5,000 times. You know?
I don't either. I don't know, man. It's kind of crazy. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what's going on there. But that's what it is, man. So what else do we got to talk about? Chirp, 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 chirp.
Chirp, chirp, chirp,
so,
chirp, 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 chirp.
All right,
chirp.
Well, you know, as usual, I'd like to give a shout-out to my boys over there at the Wrestling Soup. They do their shows on Thursday at 10:20 or 10:15, so they're actually doing their show right now. You know, check them out on the archive, you know, Wrestling Soup. They do their fucking thing, man. They're hilarious, and, Yeah, I know, George. I messed that up. Check them out. Check out
Where's
John
the chat
Gray.
Room at for Wrestling Soup? Where's the chat room at? Wrestling-News?
Wrestling-News.com. And then their show's over there at Ustream. And, yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's where they're at. You can check out John Gray at RealSideMedia.com. He does a pretty good job. He has a good amount of guests. I think he switched his show and did it tonight and had on Sexy Eddie. So I'm not sure why he switched it to Thursday. But normally they
maybe
do their shows on Wednesday.
And maybe he wanted to go head to head with us with Yakuza Kick, but it's not a good look if you're trying to go one on one against us.
Well,
not a good look for anybody else. Fuck that shit.
I don't know, man. Other shows do theirs, and we do ours. I don't really try to compete. Every once in a while, I get
Hey, I'm talking. Don't fucking interrupt me.
Yeah,
you know.
You.
But other than that,
I just interrupted you.
Huh?
I said I just interrupted you. You hear that? I just interrupted you.
Oh, okay. Well, what can you do? But like I said, you know, check out all these shows, man. You know, whether they're running the same night as me, I support them. They do a good thing over there. You know, definitely check them out. Mainly Wrestling Soup. Those are my dudes. And what else we got? I'm pretty low on things to talk about at this point in the night.
Well, oh, wait a minute. Sin Cara receives heat for doing an unauthorized interview. So, yeah.
Sin Cara was another topic that I actually forgot to talk about. Sin Cara has been suspended, apparently, for, I think, 30 days?
30 days.
For apparently use of antibiotic steroids. He was,
fucking bullshit.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, I had a dude trying to explain some things to me, which did help out, and I do kind of understand that could be the case, because my first thing is like, yo, Mason Ryan ain't on the, he ain't on shit, so Sin Cara, oh, we gotta stop all this, this fucking, crazy shit, you know,
what?
He's gotta stop all this crazy shit, you know, because, no steroids go on in the WWE except for that fucking terrible, terrible fucking Sin Cara, that juice monkey. Jesus Christ. How dare he? All these clean guys such as Mason Ryan and John Cena, you know? God damn that steroid monster. So anyway, no, but one thing I had heard that might be the case is that, you know, people can legally do HGH, you know, human growth hormone or the testosterone replacement treatments, and you can do those legally. You can go through the right channels and do that, you know, through doctor's prescription and everything like that. So that is far more expensive, but however, if that's the way that these other guys are going and passing tests, yeah, they're not on steroids. They're on HGH and could very well be, you know, could very well be the reason why these guys are skating past and they're fucking 10 times the size of guys who are failing for steroid use. So could be. But either way, I mean, I just think it puts out a really, really bad image on the company when you see an enormous fucking guy who looks like, you know, like a fucking battle toad, and then, you know, you get another guy who's a lucha guy with a little bit of, you know, muscle to him, and, yeah, fucking get his steroid-using ass out of here. I don't know. But, yeah, it seems like the evidence is piling up, the reasons are piling up, and they're finding whole lots of fucking reasons to get this guy out of there. You know, they suspended him for 30 days and immediately said that maybe when he comes back, we might just terminate his contract. Like, it just seems like they're leaning in the direction of getting rid of him. So, you know, whether that's the right thing to do or not, personally, yeah, I mean, a lot of people, you know, they pegged him as overrated. And while I won't completely disagree, I do think he has a shitload. I hate to keep beating on Mason Ryan like this, but I do think he has a whole shitload more talent than your Mason Ryans, your half of these fucking Nexus retards. So, David Otunga, this guy's had a fucking tag title already. He's one of the biggest pieces of shits in the world. The only reason he's in the fucking company is because he's fucking with Jennifer Hudson, and they're trying to get a little bit of star power behind him, and that's the only reason. That's the only fucking reason, because he has someone of star quality attached to him. If this fucking guy was just dating some random chick and he tried to just get across with his wrestling ability and his, you know, fantastic mic work, this guy wouldn't see the fucking light of a dark match. Fuck that.
Right.
And, you know, but yeah, Sin Cara, oh, that overrated motherfucker, he's blowing spots out there. I mean, they set the bar really, really high for him. And I think, I mean, the nerves and everything else have really got to be raised. And, you know, not to make excuses for the guy because, you know, it does happen. Hey, good night, Juan. He's out of here.
Yeah, good night, Juan. Good night, Juan.
Yeah, man. But, you know, it does happen where, you know, guys, you know, they get all hyped up and stuff like that, and, you know, they can't execute. But, you know, after enough times, you definitely should be getting it right.
Right.
You know, they're trying to have him do too much. I thought that from the very start because it was like a... so, yeah, I don't know. I can't be completely negative towards the guy, but in the same token, yeah, maybe they should have him do a little less, and I think he'd be a lot more crisp in the ring. And, you know, they're running the gambit with him really fast, and that's what happens. And, you know, maybe that puts the pressure on him. Maybe I could get a little bigger and compete against some of these higher card guys. Maybe I could do this. Maybe that was something he was doing the whole time. I'm just speculating.
Right. By the way, we have, you know, once you want to get to them, we have two questions from fans.
Absolutely, yeah. Shoot.
Okay, well, Joe in New Jersey has two questions for you. He wants to know, who do you think will be the next breakout star on the indie scene?
Well... I mean, I don't know if you really want to call him broken already or whatever the case may be, but I think Rick Swan is definitely part of the future of the indies. You know, he's, in my opinion, one of the best high flyers that we've ever seen on the indies. He can match what a lot of other guys can do, and he hasn't gotten his proper due on the indie scene yet. Dragon Gate's doing some things with him. I believe he might be doing a little bit in Evolve. He's made several Japan tours at a very young age. So,
yeah, I don't think he's even 21 yet. I think he's like 20.
Right, right. So he is getting a good amount of exposure, and he is getting a good amount of opportunities, but probably not anywhere near this guy's potential in the business. Is just tremendous. Trying to think of who else.
A guy like Gresham or Fox.
Oh, Jonathan Gresham. Very, very good guy. God, man, he's very short and everything, but he does a lot of very intense stuff. I remember back, 2001, Quiet Storm worked the same way. And Quiet Storm was a guy who could pull off some very powerful things for his size. He's kind of doubled in size wide-wise. I've seen pictures of him recently, and I don't know, dude. He might be hitting Sin Cara up or something, but
he's jacked or is he fat?
Yeah, he's pretty fucking bulky. But no, who knows, man? It's been a long, long time since I've seen him live, so I can't say how long he's been working on it.
10 years. The one.
Right, right. And I don't know, but he's one of those type of guys that's small, definitely makes up for it in intensity and strength, and he's very good. He's a guy that can make a big, big thing for himself. Who else? Oh yeah, I mean AR Fox, yeah, he just got his first trip to Japan. He is one exciting guy to watch. I mean, you see him in there, holy shit, man. Like he pulls moves out that you never even expect to see. This kind of just reminded me of something I read earlier today, and I figure I'll bring it up. But, Joel Maximo had posted earlier on Facebook or tweeting or something like that. See you later, CZW Ewok. See you next week, buddy.
Yep, see
you. Joel Maximo had tweeted or Facebooked or whatever the case was that he had saw that Frankie Kazarian had tweeted Sin Cara bitching at him for using his Spanish fly. So, of course, this set off, Joel, because Joel Maximo was like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Like, that is clearly our move. And you guys, you rename it, and now you're bitching at other people for using yours, when I never bitched at you for using mine, and damn well that's not your move. So I just thought that was pretty interesting to see, guys, just come off like that. And, there's a ton of that. And, I had heard years ago, and I'm not going to put out the people who told me, but people in the business told me straight up that Frankie Kazarian and Nova at the time, because they were actually teaming up as Evolution, oddly enough, and they were doing nothing but stealing moves from guys on the indies and using them everywhere else. And
that's Simon Dean, right? Nova, Simon Dean, right?
Nova, yeah, Simon Dean.
Okay.
We have another
question. Just came in to me. From the same guy. So we have a total of three questions from this guy.
Uh-oh, okay.
I'm moving on up in the world. You want the second question?
Go ahead, man.
What the hell are you laughing about?
What's that? Did you have a second question, or?
I have two more questions. I have this question and another one. All right, so the next question is, with the recent WWE signing of all these indie guys, with them signing Tyler Black and Jon Moxley and,
right,
having guys like Danielson, what other guys from the indies do you see WWE picking up?
Well, I've said it a million times. I feel Sami Callihan has everything it could possibly be needed within the WWE. It really depends on what level of where they're looking to go, what direction they're looking to go. Because obviously if you're going to go towards a pure athleticism style, I would definitely go with a Davey Richards without a question because, you know, I mean, he's clearly a phenomenal athlete. You can go with a lot of guys along those you know, aspects. I mean, if you're looking to hire pure athletes, if you're looking to hire a guy, you know, who's going to do a bunch of crazy aerial stuff and match up with your Evan Bournes and stuff like that, well, then you need to get your Jack Evans. You need to get these young guys like the AR Foxes and the Rich Swan. Get them early and, you know, get these guys in your developmental system and work them up. And, you know, within 2 years, put them on TV. And next thing you know, I mean, you have a future star that you could have on for another 20 years in the business. I mean, those could be huge things if that's what they're looking to do. If that's not what they're looking to do, if they're looking to go, like, along the lines of, you know, your talkers, your guys who are able to have the look to do that type of thing, well, I think they're going the right direction with your John Moxleys, with your Chris Hero, your Claudio Castagnoli. I believe they're definitely going the right direction with those guys.
Cabana,
very, very good selection there. Trying to think of who else. I mean, there definitely are others that I think would work really well. But
Teddy freaking Hart. Teddy freaking Hart. I said Teddy Hart.
No, that's the worst direction to possibly go. You know, it's really not a good idea. I sure should wouldn't. I don't know, man. I mean, there's a lot of things that they could do. So much indie talent out there. I mean, I know a lot of my answers were just kind of generic answers because most of the guys who I mentioned were actually guys that WWE is signing. But, I mean, what can I say? I mean, those are a lot of the guys who are just clear-cut ready. And there's definitely a lot of other guys. Shit, man. Off the top of my head. It's really difficult. But,
Adam
I mean,
Cole,
you know.
That's like Adam Cole could be.
Adam Cole's another good guy to bring in and put into your developmental system right now at a young age. And it's not that I don't think they're ready, but I know that the way that the WWE works is like an indie guy, you know. I mean, shit, if you're putting John Moxley into the developmental system and you're putting Tyler Black into the developmental system, both former world champions in different companies, if they still feel they need to do something along the line of polishing with those guys, then by all means, fucking, they're going to have to do a lot of polishing with a lot of different guys because there's something that they see missing, that they want to see them in different situations and before they get on TV. So that's just the way that they work. So, yeah, I would polish most of the guys that you would see as, I mean, again, as great workers and stuff like that. I mean, you could pull your Roderick Strongs. You could pull your, you know, your Eddie Edwards. You could pull a lot of those guys. But they're going to want to do a lot of tweaking with their character and maybe making something out of them that's going to, you know, going to put them in a better – and honestly – Matt's in the chat room talking about the Bella Twins and stuff like that. Well, on that aspect, I got to say that, you know, other people who I think need to be brought up is Mercedes Martinez, Sarah Del Rey, fucking Mia Yim. You know, these people, you know, these girls, they bust their fucking ass, and there's a lot of women in the WWE that can't work for shit. So you bring in some of these girls that know how to work, you know, those type of chicks. That's what they need, I think.
They won't do that. They won't do that.
Why not?
Well, Bel Rey, I can see in Bel Rey because she has the body. You know, she has the look. She has the work.
Yeah, well, I think Mercedes does too. I definitely think Mercedes does too. You know, she's not your cookie cutter chick. She's fucking powerful as all hell, and I think she can go in there and work with anybody, and shit, I just don't see why not. I mean, that's just my opinion. I think Mia Yim needs some work, but shit, she's getting tours of Japan left and right. I mean, she has the look, no question about it. And she has a good amount of work ethic. She busts her ass in the gym. She fucking keeps herself in phenomenal shape, and she's fucking working on her craft nonstop. So again, put her in the developmental system, polish up everything you don't like. Let's fucking get her on TV because, again, I mean, there's some people in the WWE that, man, they just look like a fucking wet towel in the ring. It's ridiculous.
Like Otunga.
Like Otunga, yeah, or, you know, female versions of that. I mean, there's a lot of just horrible female wrestlers in there.
The Bella Twins.
Yeah, the Bella Twins really can't work. I mean, whether you like to look at them or not, you know, it's funny because Joey Numbers says that, you know, one of them is the yucky Bella. And if you see her in the right light, she's just a terrible looking woman. But, man. Not all of them are what they're cracked up to be. So.
Right. All right, so, the other question is, and then I forgot we have to mention, let's talk about this a little bit. I just got the message, and I knew that I was supposed to talk to you about this, but I guess he did some late research and realized it. What's your thoughts on the whole Ring of Honor Noah deal, working relationship possibility?
I think it's very positive. It's always a good thing when, you know, you see a company working with a Japan company. Well, I do mildly worry that they're not going to have the ability to create anything creative out of it. I mean, if they just bring over these guys, you know, the Kentas, the Marufujis, tremendous talent. But if they don't find new things to do and they just do carbon copy matches of, you know, the matches that they did a few years ago, you know, yeah, great, you'll have your Kenta Davey Richards, but we've seen that. So if it's just another strike fest, I don't know if it's going to stand out any more than the first one did.
No, it won't. Yeah, you're right, it won't.
It's pretty much same old, and we've already seen that as dream matches. So once that dream match is accomplished, I mean, where else do you go? If you're able to keep these guys for long enough to run angles with them, then I think that would be the best thing you can possibly do.
Right.
Of course, the talent is there, and it's fine. You do your couple of dream matches, and then they go home. But if you can work angles amongst that, that would work out really well. They were able to do some pretty big things with,
Morishima.
Thank you. The Japanese baby Huey. They were able to do a lot of big things with him, and that worked out really well. Not as much storyline around it as they should have had, but I know with the language barrier, that is a tough thing to accomplish. Either way, I mean, it's a great thing, you know. This is, I mean, nitpicking and me just saying, like, what's going to make it turn out the best for the company and for the fans overall. It's finding creative ways to use these guys. Not just a shitload of dream matches and send them home. Because once you've already accomplished that with those talents, you're wasting it. Just bringing it in, doing quick things. I mean, if you only get one talent once, then, yeah, put on a dream match with him. That's what you need to do. But
right.
The next three or four times that guy comes over, you're going to have to work something with him to make it special and stand out, where now he's involved in this angle. Or, you know, you have a guy come in, and now he becomes, a hitman for such and such a stable. You know, the embassy has hired Marufuji to take fucking people out, or Kenta to take people out. And then, he's taking out all these fucking low mid-carders, and then all of a sudden, you know, the big baby face steps up into the limelight and says, you know, I'm not going to take you doing this shit no more. And then, boom, you got your main event match of that guy after a few months. You know,
see,
like,
I'm surprised Evolve and Dragon Gate. Well, that would have worked. Never mind. Imagine Evolve and Dragon Gate got that Kenta Marufuji deal. Or like that.
Oh,
Noah,
yeah, that's
deal.
Big, but, you know, I don't really know the working relationships between the Japan companies, but it doesn't seem very friendly to me.
Right. That'd be awesome, though. Get like guys like Kenta versus Brody Lee, you know, when he comes back. Kenta versus Sammy. Imagine that.
Oh, I would love to see Kenta versus Sammy. Holy shit, I would love to see that.
Imagine that was in New York. Imagine or that was in like New Jersey or something. I know you would be there.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, like, you know, the other things, I mean, they could do with that is, you know, oh, yeah, there's so much tremendous Japanese talent within Dragon Gate and all that stuff. And, you know, they bring in the Pox and they bring in those guys and, yeah, you know, Marufuji and Dragon Kid or Yoshino or...
Right, talking to that faggot BXB Hulk or whoever those faggots were.
You don't like BXB Hulk?
Or whoever those fuckers were that did the stupid shit. Fuck
the stupid shit from what I really heard was, what you call it, was Shingo. Shingo was the main guy of that. That's why I could never really, you know. What is Matt asking us in the chat? Not really.
Well, I have no idea what he's talking about.
Okay, because I thought he was asking a question. I didn't want to ignore it. Anywhere you want in CZW. I don't know. Know what that means. So, yeah, that's all the questions we got.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know what he's talking about.
Okay. We'll see. Maybe you can reword that.
No, I think he's, let me see what he's, I think it's something to do with, they were talking about something before. I don't know what he's talking about.
Oh, that's all good.
I think he said CZW because CZW Princess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about. Oh, I think he's trying to figure out, like, girl, like, he's talking to Nina about women in other wrestling companies. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, they got me in there, and, you know, they brought in that awesome dream match of, you know, Inoue and Sumi Sakai. Fucking phenomenal match.
I got that on DVD. Just got that in the mail today.
Awesome. Yeah, you got to check that out.
Yeah.
Andy Social's pretty good.
Yeah, she got some, a lot of good talent. Well, she was trained by the one and only Trent Acid, so.
Of course. Yeah, Sarah Del Rey is phenomenal. But,
Real quick, though, we didn't talk about this last week, I don't think.
We what?
New Jack. So we didn't talk about this last week, New Jack.
New Jack.
Did you talk about this last week?
Crazy New Jack. I don't know, man. He came out and, you know, talked tons and tons of shit about, he had broke up with.
First off, your boy, Billy Real, posted, had fucking AIDS. Not AIDS, a disease or something. I don't know what he's talking about. It's fucking almost midnight. I'm getting tired over here. I'm awake, I'm at the computer, and it's getting late for me, so. Yeah.
Right. So anyway, you know, New Jack and Terry Runnels broke up, so that was the big news. And then as soon as they broke up, New Jack started going all out, saying that she had herpes and he's getting tested and da-da-da-da-da. So now he's actually auctioning off naked pictures of her and pictures of her sucking them off and these type of things. So New Jack's crazy. He's bugging the fuck out. But, you know, it is what it is. He got tested. He's negative. He ain't got nothing. But he's real disgruntled right now. Yeah, he seems to be calming down a little now. But, yeah, he's pretty mad and all that. So, I mean, what can you do?
I'd be mad, too, if, you know, the girl I was with, you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's just a lot of it, you know, a lot of it's probably shit that should be kept quiet. I mean, as far as, you know, her having diseases and not telling people, then, yeah, put that on blast. But some of the other stuff is more or less like, dude, I mean, if you was with her and now you want to call her 10 types of ugly, I mean, you was with her, dude. You know what I mean? Like, you
right.
Can get mad as fucking blaster that way if you want, but, you know, come on, man. So, it's whatever. Now, Alyssa Flash is good. She's done a lot of things with, you know, the cheerleader Melissa and the...
Okay, I'll say that one.
And the, who the fuck else was she? The chick that came out with, with, Tom.
Who?
Who's the chick that came out with Awesome Kong on TNA? What was her name?
Rocket Khan.
No. Not Rocket Khan. That was the ugly bitch that was, that was, being stalked by Kurt Angle.
No,
but there was a chick, under the veil, and she came out with Kong all the time.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That's the same chick.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
She was wrestling as Alyssa Flash and managing Kong as, I forget her name right now. But, and then she was also cheerleading Melissa on the indies when she was doing that. So, yeah, she's done a lot of things. She's very talented. Yeah. I think we're pretty much about to wrap up. Anybody got any last-minute questions, comments, whatever the case is?
Real quick, I'm just going to make sure we got everything. Just read off the list of shit that we have to. All
right.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on WSU? Have you ever heard of WSU, Women's Superstars?
Yeah, Good Women's Fed. They run some top-notch women's shows.
I got some free DVDs off of somebody that used to do the covers for the WSU DVDs. I got like 5 or 6 of them.
Oh, really? You have to lend me some of those.
Yeah. There was some old school shit, though. It's like, because he used to do that shit like 2 years ago, and then he had a big falling out with Sean DeMick. Because I guess Sean DeMick is the owner. Right. And they had a big falling out, and but Sean DeMick's payday for the guy filming the shows, and, you know, the guy would film the shows and, you know, do the fucking thing, do the covers. And he's the same on the Jersey All Pro.
He
had a falling out with Sean DeMick.
Yeah, I'd
Sean
like to check out some of their stuff. I haven't really formally got to watch a whole lot of it, but I obviously read their cards all the time because I'm on the DOI all the time, which is also run by Sean DeMick, so he promotes his company on there. And from what I read, man, he puts on some top-notch women's wrestling, and I give him much respect for that because not that many people put that much effort into women's wrestling, and it definitely takes a lot to do that, and he seems to be doing it right.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not like, remember that old wrestling women's wrestling company, what was that said, in Philly, WEW or something like that, remember?
Yeah.
That stripper fed or something like that. Those are even. Yeah, I get fucking free DVDs, Matt Alvarez. Sucker cock. Don't complain.
So, like I said, I guess we'll wrap the show up. Come back next week with very.
Close to 3 hours. We almost said 3 hours.
Yeah, we went close to 3 hours. So, yeah, definitely check us out next week, 9 p.m. Hopefully we'll have our friend Nicole back in the chat next week because we've been missing her. She did just get married. She is now officially Nicole Klein. So Mr. and Mrs. Insanity, hopefully we'll see you back in the chat next week. And, I guess we'll leave it.
Why is Matt Alvarez saying Randy Orton is good?
Randy Orton's a snake man, and he's not good.
But Cena sucks. Okay. Anyway.
Cena sucks as well. All right. So, for Eric Williams, I am J. Cat Morris. We'll check you motherfuckers out next week on Yakuza Kick Radio.
It was very strange. It was very weird. Peculiar. It was kind of amusing.
Yes, it was rather funny.
It was incredibly funny.
I loved it.
Hilarious.
Wonderful.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.